avoid the release of public records. Former federal prosecutor Sonny Austin thinks the secrecy may have enabled the abusive behavior to continue.
Sex abuse thrives, especially child sex abuse, on secrecy and embarrassment and privacy. And I think that is what is so scary about Penn State's position in this.
The Congressional Supercommittee has just 8 days to come up with at least $1.2 trillion in spending cuts over the next 10 years. Republicans and Democrats may not want to compromise during an election cycle. Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss says there's only one way to respond to that kind of thinking.
I say in response to that, look, how much do you care about your country? How much do you care about the America you're going to leave for your children and grandchildren?
Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski now is the winningest coach in men's college basketball history. His guys beat Michigan State last night for win number 903 in his career. That surpasses Bobby Knight's record. Knight was Krzyzewski's college coach and mentor, and Krzyzewski told reporters that Knight joked with him about the record before last night's game.
He says, tell your players I'm getting angry, and maybe that'll motivate them.
Krzyzewski's been named National Coach of the Year 12 times in his career and has 4 national championships to his credit. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
Dude, you're getting Adele, not the computer, the singer. Sony Music, whose list of artists includes Adele, has agreed to let Google's new online music store license its catalog. Google is set to launch its store today. 3 of the big 4 music labels are now on board. While one division of Sony shakes hands with Google, another is looking to be its rival. Reports say Sony is negotiating with TV programmers about creating a paid TV service in which channels are sent into homes via the net instead of cable or satellite. Last week came word Google is considering the same business. 3,000 jobs at Citigroup, including 900 in the securities banking division, are on the chopping block. Wall Street Journal says the planned headcount reduction is subject to change. Those 900 securities jobs account for 5% of the division. World markets moving all over. Japan's Nikkei fell 1%. European markets have popped higher. S&P futures back lower, down 9 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
You're stranded by the side of the road. It's raining, 1 a.m, and your car has a flat tire. Too bad your Motor Club membership expired years ago. Who can you call for help? Allstate wants everyone to be protected on the road. So before this happens to you, give them a call. Because right now, Allstate is giving every driver in America a free lifetime membership and good hands roadside assistance just for calling. You don't even have to be an Allstate customer. You'll get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. So down the road, when you need help, you'll know you're in good hands.
Call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today. and get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. You can't afford not to call. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trubiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, two out of three ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trubiano.
And good morning, everybody. It is Hump Day Wednesday. Reading the weather forecast this morning, we may have snow Thursday headed into Friday. Yeah, they're saying, you know, it might even stick to the grassy areas. Hey, it's that time of year. Good morning. Thanks for punching in on this early morning First Shift program. I do appreciate all of you that are out there, especially the early morning folks that join me on a daily basis. It matters. It all matters. And we've got a great show to bring to you today. In our 7 o'clock hour, we're going to visit with Tommy Nugent. He's a performer, a comedian. He is going to, he is in the process of putting together a benefit for Occupy Detroit, and we'll tell you what that's all about, where it's going to be, how you can get involved. At 7:50, of course, we will be occupying, or Occupy Detroit will be occupying First Shift with another great guest. And then at 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson will be joining us, of course. We will be talking a great deal today about the financial hardship in the city of Detroit and what that means. And I know, without even talking to him, that my good friend and listener, Amir, is outraged this morning, or will be, when he hears that a lot of what Mayor Bing will say at 6 p.m. live this evening is that the key to financial solvency is privatization. And any of you that listen to the show at any length at all know that Amir is anti-privatization, but there is a serious problem in the city of Detroit, and we will again get into that. Stephen Henderson's column in the Detroit Free Press is one of the stops you need to make today to get an idea of what is going on and what he sees as the solution. But let us get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is cynicism. And, yeah, I don't mean to start the day negative, but, you know, I was telling Jeff before the show today, I'm really starting to feel an overwhelming sense of cynicism amongst this very audience. Even the good stuff is tinged with cynicism. It's like we can't appreciate the good stuff that's happening right now. Is it because that, you know, we've been beaten so many times that it just doesn't matter to us anymore? Do we not believe it? Is it not enough? All of the above? None of the above? I don't have all the answers. I do know this. With regard to those that are connecting to the show, whether it's calling the show, posting to the Facebook page, sending me email before, during, and after the show, there is a great sense of cynicism, and it's making me a little uncomfortable. I don't want to say, hey, lighten up, because I don't know that that's what we need to do necessarily, but perhaps what we need to do is take a deep breath, take a step back, and count our blessings. Let us not forget that when there is progress, like Election Day a couple Tuesdays ago, or last Tuesday, you know, it's something to celebrate, and I don't know if you did or you didn't, but it is something to celebrate, and you, of course, don't rest on that. But don't forget to pause and be grateful for it. And you know, as we're getting into this season of gratitude, which was our first word a couple weeks ago, as we're getting into this season of gratitude, let's not forget that cynicism rarely accomplishes our goal. In fact, if anything, it, I think, brings us, puts us further from the goal. Cynicism is today's first word. All right, before I bring Jeff on,
If any of my brothers or sisters from UAW Local 174 are listening this early, do we have a meeting tonight? If we do, would you call Jeff and let him know? 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. I believe we do have a meeting tonight, and I know I've been preparing a presentation for tonight's meeting, so I need to know if I need to finish it this afternoon. If I do, I do. It's good. I've got time. And if not, then I'll just call UAW Local 174 after the show and find out that way. So we turn our attention this morning towards First Shift's Cy Young Award winner, and that would be Jeff Radford. If they had a Cy Young Award for producers, you'd be that guy.
Oh, well, thank you.
You would be that guy.
Did I sound weird? It sounds kind of weird. This microphone's off a little bit, but hey, thank you. Good morning.
No, you sound fine. Maybe it's the headphones.
Yeah, it's probably the headphones.
Yeah, you sound absolutely perfectly fine. It was no surprise, Jeff. We of course expected Justin Verlander to win, and so it's no shock that he won. That it was announced yesterday that he's the Cy Young Award winner. But certainly, it's nice to get the announcement, and he was thrilled. And of course, doing a little campaigning for the MVP. Not that it matters, because of course those votes are already cast. And he may get it on Monday, next Monday. Very well could happen, but we don't want to make light, nor did he make light, of that accomplishment. Certainly as a pitcher, the number one award in your category, you get it. I would think that that's any pitcher's dream, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Obviously, he says that's what he was going for. I mean, you don't think about the MVP until you start breaking it down and looking at the other candidates, and you're like, well, wait a minute. No one else stands out, so I think he's got a really good shot at it. I just thought it was interesting that he said, if it's not me, then give it to Curtis.
Really? I didn't read that.
Yeah, Curtis. So. He thinks Curtis Granderson would be a better, if it's not him, he wants it, obviously, but he would want Curtis Granderson to have it.
Well, former teammates, so that makes some sense. That's nice that he said that. Of course, the votes have been cast long, Jeff, long before the announcement. In fact, for those that are not aware, all of the postseason baseball awards votes are cast before the postseason starts. So all the writers, everything that's based on the regular season has nothing to do with the postseason, which I think is the right way to do it as well. But congratulations not only to Justin Verlander, but to his teammates, of course, who helped him win a game or two along the way. I still think one of the most fantastic stats from last season, to be honest with you, Jeff, is when Detroit was in a losing streak and Justin Verlander stopped 15 losing streaks this year. 15.
That was a big knock on him too when people claimed and so falsely that he wasn't an ace and never going to be an ace. One of the things that they kept pointing to, because people like me would say, hey, look at the ERA, look at the strikeouts, and that's one thing, but anytime the Tigers are in a loss, you got to turn to your ace to stop the bleeding. And it was like, this was the year he stepped up, and maybe he's listening. And he's just like, oh, okay, is that what I got to do next? Then fine, I'm going to do that. So maybe we can criticize him about something else. Like, boy, you didn't win 30 games, JV.
You're right. If that's what it's going to take to get him to 30 games, I'll criticize the hell out of him. I have no problem with that at all.
I think you should play second base, JV.
Yeah, there you go. What a talented guy, and certainly very deserving. I don't know him personally. I know you've been around the locker room a little bit. I don't know if you quote unquote know Justin Verlander, but certainly he seems very deserving of this kind of award. There doesn't seem to be a lot of ego in him. I mean, there's obviously some ego. There's got to be some
ego.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in a bad way. I think he's very confident of what he knows he's the best pitcher in the American League, or one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. He knows that.
Well, yeah, and I was just going to say, Jeff, that I think that to be really good at anything, there has to be some ego involved.
Oh, yeah, he knows it. I like that. You can't – that's also confidence. And when you hit a rough spot on the mound, when he's got bases loaded and no outs, and he still has the ability to strike people out, he knows he's got that. So – it's not cockiness, whereas he thinks he's better than everyone. He does. He thinks he's better than most pitchers in Major League Baseball, but it's not like he thinks he's a better person than his teammates or that he deserves more than anything else. I mean, he knows that he's good, is what it is.
And that kind of confidence is important. And, I one of the interviews I read yesterday, or it might have been this morning, I read quite a few surrounding this story. One of the things that he talked about, which I thought was actually pretty important, was recognizing when something started to work that he thought, okay, instead of, you know, being belligerent about it and being stubborn, you know, I'm going to, if this is working, let me see if I can really, you know, get it to work. And so he understood going into this year. In fact, he worked on it in spring training. Was he's never had a really good, and he didn't have a great April this year either. I mean, you know, he could have had a better April than he did. And he realized that that was one of the knocks on him. So he really wanted to have a better April. He did have a better April, and he discovered in the month of April that if, and I don't know who gave him the advice to start slow and build as the game went on, but when he saw that that started to work, that's what he adopted. He also talked about that no-hitter. When he went out in the fifth inning, he said that he wasn't really nervous, that he felt very confident. And he said, you know what, if I can hold on to this feeling every game that I play in, if I can really hold on to this feeling, I have a chance to win every game I pitch. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't. He seems a lot like Tiger Woods in that, you know, always tweaking. Like, okay, you're one of the best pitchers, and yet he's going to change something drastically to become even better. You know, like Tiger did with it, he rehauled his entire swing because, you know, it's like you were one of the best golfers as it was.
Yeah. So yeah, and listen, I'm very proud that he is a Detroit Tiger. I'm very proud that he represents and proudly represents our city. And certainly what he did, recognizing the people he recognized that helped him get to where he's at, a class act. And so now we wait until, you know, next Monday for the MVP. I think he's got as much a chance as anybody out there, even though traditionally it doesn't go to a pitcher. It's happened before, and it may happen again. 888-552-3595. We've got more to get to. The Red Wings lost last night in a not very valiant effort. Michigan State lost in basketball against Duke last night in a not very valiant effort. But we'll get to all of that. Feel free to give us a call. We'll take the break on 1310 WDTW and be right back.
First Chip with Tony Trivia.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
Our total traffic update brought to you by Ford Driving Skills for Life. Good morning, Tony. Looks like so far it is a good morning for drivers on M10 Lodge Northwestern. If you're going between 696 and the Southfield Freeway or Southfield Road, getting a little bit busier in a few pockets as you head in toward downtown. Or if you're trying to make your way north of 94, heading toward the Davison and then out toward Oakland County.
Wintertime driving can be hazardous, especially for newly licensed teen drivers. Visit Ford Driving Skills for Life's award-winning website at drivingskillsforlife.com for great safe driving tips.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly cloudy skies today. Our high only 45, but that will be dropping. Tonight a chance of flurries, a low near 28. Tomorrow a chance of flurries and a high near 38. Right now we've got some light fog near the airport and 49 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct.
Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Matt, ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persine, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Get huge savings this Friday and Saturday at the Toys R Us 2-day sale. Doorbusters Friday 3 p.m. through Saturday 1 p.m. Like buy one, get one free on top toys from Crayola, Transformers, and My Little Pony. And buy one, get one 40% off hot-selling video games. Earn 10% back with Rewards R Us. And now, take time to pay with layaway. Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Free and or discounted item must be of equal or lesser value to item purchased. Certain restrictions apply for layaway offers. Rewards offer valid through 12/24. Visit Toys R Us for complete details.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great girl.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning First Shift program. If you are just punching in with us, well, we appreciate you being here this morning. As I said before we went to break, the Wings lost last night 2-1. Michigan State lost to Duke last night, which was a ranked team. Michigan State, a tough start to their season, Jeff. North Carolina, then Duke. I don't envy them, but they got to play the games. And, you know, Tom Izzo, I have a lot of confidence in Tom Izzo, and I'm sure that they'll, it's going to be a good year for them. But like every year, you got to start somewhere, and this is where they're starting.
I respect that. I think, I hope they would win some of these games so that, you know, more coaches would take a look and say, hey, what Tom Izzo does scheduling these tough games actually is a good benefit to them. You know, that it helps their schedule because they know how to play when the Big Ten comes around. They don't have cupcake games going into the season.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's a tough start, but I'm sure they're going to be fine. Let me turn your attention, if I can, quickly, folks, to our Facebook page this morning. Again, if you have not been to the Facebook page yet, if you go to Facebook, just search for First Shift. You'll find us there. We have a poll question every day, and today's poll question is, a story out today shows that lobbyists have already spent more than $500,000 in free food for state legislators in 2011. Should there be a ban on free food for legislators in Michigan? Should there be a ban? And you've got a few choices there. Always feel free to add. Just do so responsibly to the responses. My thought on that pretty quickly here is that I think it's a little bit out of control. If you read the piece, and I found it at the Free Press, if you read the piece, what you're going to find is, first of all, they says that there's absolutely no way at all that, you know, they can't do this because they need to sit with these folks, with these lobbyists anyway, because they give them information, you know, good information. So if they're going to be sitting with them anyway, where's the harm in taking free food? Okay, fair enough. That's that. But I don't know if that I agree with that. Jeff, now here's the deal. You're an elected, you know, lawmaker here in the state of Michigan, House and Senate. Lobbyists, of course, are going to be in and out of your office all the time. They're representing constituencies that, you know, you are going to be voting on legislation. And, you know, there was and I don't remember who the legislator was, but he said, my policy is free food, yes, vote no. So I don't know if that's exactly the way he follows it all the time. State Representative Vicky Barnett, who we've had on this show, is, by the way, The only one, well, I'll tell you how much that she has taken in free food. You ready for this? $1.79.
What cost $1.79?
It must have been a muffin or something.
Right, I guess so.
A cup of coffee? I don't know. I don't know. Muffin doesn't even cost that little. But many of them, including Randy Richardville, who is the Senate Majority Leader, and Jace Bulger, all have lots of lobbyists. And, of course, they say they're very important, and a lot of people need to meet with them. And so it's easier to do it at lunch, Jeff, because they are busy people. Do you think that they should be allowed to bought? And I'm not assuming that, listen, buying somebody lunch is buying a vote necessarily. But should there be limits, or do you think they should eliminate that perk for lobbyists?
You know, it seems like it could influence people. I doubt that they're like, hey, thanks for the hamburger. All right, you got a yes. You know, I mean, but at the same time, it is weird to see the people that are okay with taking a lot of money, free money for free lunches, like the names, and then see the people who are against it, who, like you say, only got maybe a free muffin once or something.
Right.
And to see how they voted, like their track record, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
I think a limit, though. I mean, because if you think about it, I think Joe, when you were out that one time, and it was me and Joe DeSana, we kind of talked a little bit about this, and he said he broke it down to times that they were actually, you know, working and not on vacation or whatever, and you know, some of the people were spending or getting like $60 to $70 a day for free food, which, I mean, obviously they didn't do it every single meal. So then you're talking some meals have to be hundreds of dollars, right?
Yeah. You know, some of this stuff is, in the article, you know, says that some of this stuff is, you know, are catered affairs where they're, you know, spending a lot of money per head. Some of the stuff is, you know, a quick, you know, coffee and a donut kind of thing. And it all has to be reported, Jeff. Actually, that's not true. The law limits anything under $55 doesn't need to be reported, although the article does go to say that most lobbying firms do report every single penny they spend on legislators. So I'll give them that much. But yeah, so yes, you're right. Some of this stuff is high ticket. There's no question that's true. And, you know, you begin to wonder if it does have some influence. Again, I understand that, you know, the lobbyists are, in some regards, educators for lawmakers. They're the ones that go there and, you know, educate them on issues. Our own Chris Mihalakis is, for all intents and purposes, as a legislative director, as a lobbyist. And so I'm not 100% opposed to it. I'll say that up front. I'm not. At the same time, when you take a look at the number, $533,000, that's a lot of freaking money to spend on lunch. Well, it's not just lunch, but you understand.
And just throw that on top of everything that we've, you know, that at least, you know, my eyes have been opening up lately to see, okay, well, now, you know, it's okay for people in government to do insider trading so they can make a little extra money on the side.
Yeah, great story yesterday. And Jeff, let's take it another step further. The super committee that is supposed to come out in just a week now with their cost cutting plan. You know, many of the members of the super committee, once they were appointed to the super committee, received massive contributions to their campaign war chests. And this is, tell me that's not about influence.
Exactly. I mean, you look at just lunches and you say, okay, that can't be that much of it. You add that to some of the other things, the other benefits that they get, and suddenly you see maybe a pattern of influence.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. There is a pattern of influence there. Again, at the state level, based on, again, this article that was in the Free Press this morning, there is such thing as a free lunch, folks. There truly is. Although nobody seemed to be overly concerned, none of the lawmakers seemed to be overly concerned about it. Again, some of them, like State Rep. Vicki Barnett, who has taken all of $1.79 in free food, and others who have taken $23, $24, $2,500 in free food. You know, they, again, their justification for that, and I think there is some legitimacy to it, is that, you know, this is when, you know, that certainly that is a time of the day, lunch or dinner, where, you know, you're going to have to stop and eat anyway, so you might as well do business. I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I do think, though, as in other states, Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, they have much more strict disclosure laws where they have to disclose, you know, lobbyists have to disclose every single penny, and lawmakers have to report every single penny that's spent on them, even if it is a cup of coffee or a donut. And I think that we should have stricter laws there. When we come back, we've got some audio to get to. Of course, we're welcome to take your call. Tom, thanks for calling in and letting me know that there is no meeting tonight. I appreciate that, my brother.
And thanks for giving me crap about basil plants.
Did he really?
Of course he did.
Okay. We'll take a break and we'll be back. Join us if you'd like. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truffiano.
Team 10 WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. Drivers on I-94 as you're coming in from maybe the Belleville area along 94 toward Hagerty, 275 Wayne Road. We still have that construction going on through there. Eastbound side a little bit heavier, but we're not yet seeing the really big delays that we may get in the next hour or so.
This holiday season, light every door with select energy-efficient holiday LED light strings and save $3 instantly at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/save energy.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly cloudy skies today. Our high only 45, but that will be dropping. Tonight a chance of flurries, a low near 28. Tomorrow a chance of flurries and a high near 38. Right now we've got some light fog near the airport and 49 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift with me, Tony Truppiano, after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
It's one thing to be addicted to a drug, but it's worse to be hooked because someone else is addicted. The someone in this case is Bank of America, along with J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and other members of the Big Bankers gang. The drug they're hooked on is one they love, rely on, and have no desire to shake. Consumer fees. Such assessments on their own customers are now a major source of income in their banking systems, and they're more creative than other kinds of junkies in finding ways to get more of the stuff. One especially infuriating creation by these fee junkies is one that hooks you to their addiction. Internet banking. To draw you in, they initially offered free online bill paying, electronic deposits, etc. Sign up with us, they purred. We're here to serve you. Millions were lured in. But then, gotcha. Free soon turned into fees. Well, customers could just move their internet business to another bank, right? Not so simple. The banks have deliberately wired their technology to make it a pain in the rear for anyone to switch. Instead of just click on move, you have to disentangle each one of your electronic transactions separately. Your various credit card accounts, rent payments, utility bills, etc., etc. One fellow who tried to move from Bank of America says he was so overwhelmed by the complications of switching dozens of his online arrangements that he gave up. I'm really annoyed, he told the New York Times, but someone at Bank of America made that calculation. This is Jim Hightower saying, Representative Brad Miller, having made his own calculation that consumers should be able to move at will, has introduced a bill in Congress to make it easier for customers to free themselves from their bank's fee addiction. For information, go to Representative Miller's website, www.bradmiller.house.gov.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome back. Thanks again for punching in this morning. Well, you can always, actually, I'm going to start at a different spot because this is much more critical. What was I thinking? For those of you that are waking up this morning, you're going to find on the front page of both major Detroit newspapers and the top story on every television station in town is the financial crisis in the city of Detroit. At 6 p.m. this evening, Dave Bing has asked and has been given time on all of the major networks to address the fiscal issues that are facing the city and his plan to turn it around. As we talked about on the show last week, the mayor had threatened turning to the governor for an emergency financial manager. The city council responded, no way. I want to remind you before we go any further that the city council in the last round of budget talks tried to cut deeper than the mayor would allow them to. The mayor also promised to make changes when elected that he never made. This is not entirely of his doing, but he certainly has not done enough to stem the tide. That is for God's honest truth. All right. With that said, let's go to a report from WXYZ TV Channel 7 on Detroit's financial crisis. It's a little bit long, but I think it's important that you hear what Channel 7 put together.
22 pages of terror. That according to one former elected official who has deep knowledge of Detroit's finances. The problem is the city now has limited ability to borrow money, which leads to the question, will Detroit soon be run by an emergency manager?
Detroit paid the consulting firm Ernst & Young $1.7 million for this first quarter cash reporting package, the document that led to secret meetings between the mayor and city council, and real concerns that payless paydays are on the horizon.
In essence, they will not be able to make payroll in the best case scenario by June 30th, 2012.
Action News asked CPA George Smith to review the audit report. He says things are moving quickly towards financial disaster.
February, January is definitely a realistic possibility. And again, that's before these pension obligations and debt service. There just won't be enough cash to cover everything for a year.
That's if most of the projections in the report pan out. Detroit City Councilman Gary Brown believes the city will be broke by mid-December, as we reported 2 weeks ago. The report says the cash shortage by June of next year is around $64 million. But the projections come with a lengthy disclaimer that says Ernst & Young relied totally on data provided by the city, that it did not assist in assembling the prospective financial information. But even with the best available numbers, it clearly spells out in just 22 pages a frightening scenario that former city councilwoman Sheila Cockrell predicted was coming for years. Only real change, she says, will balance budgets.
There have to be fundamental changes in how services are delivered. There have to be fundamental changes in wage structures and benefit structures and pensions. When there is no more money, you then have to act like there is no more money.
The big concern is services that will be cut. If you cut payroll, there's less people to perform the services. If you cut departments, you're going to have less and less of it. So that affects every person in the city of Detroit.
Which brings us to the all-important question, is an emergency manager in Detroit's future? Governor Rick Snyder is downplaying that possibility. He recently spoke to 7 Action News.
Well, that's not a given. I mean, basically, we still have a whole process in terms of a review team would need to come in. There's opportunities for a consent agreement. The emergency manager is the last resort, and I want to avoid that whenever possible because that's a failure point. So hopefully we can avoid that.
This is not just a Southeast Michigan problem. It's going on all over this country.
Oakland County Executive Brooks Patterson isn't ready to concede that a financial collapse in Detroit will spill over into his territory, but he believes Bing will have to come out strong with cost cutting.
I'd say pretty close to draconian cuts. He has to. And people think he's bluffing or that, you know, he can do it himself. Really don't understand the depth and the nature of the problem.
And when Mayor Dave Bing speaks to the region tomorrow night, he'll be talking about what's needed to prevent the assignment of an emergency manager, starting with negotiating with city unions and their 11,000 employees.
with health care benefits and as well as pension, we're probably looking at somewhere close to $100 million. Expenses are out distancing the revenue by a long shot, and we constantly are looking at year after year, running a deficit. We don't have enough money to continue to do the things that we've been doing historically.
Tomorrow night, the mayor, Dave Bing, is expected to talk of the need to eliminate some 2,200 jobs in the city if he doesn't get the concessions that he wants. That's about one quarter of the workforce. He has also said that he doesn't want to be the emergency manager, but if that happens, the mayor believes that person could be in place by early next year. Bill Proctor, 7 Action News.
Pretty serious stuff. I mean, there's no question the city of Detroit is in dire need of a financial shakedown. Now, at 8 o'clock this morning, for those of you that can hang with us that long, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press has an amazing breakdown of what he believes needs to be done. And he'll be talking about his column in this morning's Free Press that deals with this issue. This is a critical area of need. And how the city responds to this is crucial. We already know that the city council is not going to agree with what the mayor has to say. And here's the problem. The mayor is not telling the city council what his plan is. Now, how insane is that? What is wrong? Why is that relationship always so damn toxic? I've never quite understood that. And it's disturbing. And if there was ever a time where they should transcend all of whatever vitriol they have between each other and come together for the common good of the citizens of the great city of Detroit, now is that time. They can't raise taxes any longer. Revenue is not going to meet demand. It's just not going to do it. And there's no scenario that you can give me that it'll happen. Threatening unions, which is all this mayor has done for months now, obviously doesn't solve a single problem either. What are your thoughts? 888-552-3595. Now, let me tell you before I go to the phones. This is not a problem that just affects the city of Detroit. It affects the entire region, and it affects the entire state. And if you don't believe that, then you're not paying attention. Then you don't get it. Again, 888-552-3595. Let's go to our friend Tom in Detroit. Tom, thanks for punching in this morning. I can kind of guess what's on your mind.
Yeah, just a little bit. But anyway, you know what? This situation with the city, I don't believe that, you know, from downtown on 11th floor, they have been forthright in coming, you know, to the presenting the facts how they really are. I mean, you know, you pay a company, what was it? I think they said $1.2
million. $1.7
million. To do a, you know, basically a financial audit is what they did.
That's exactly what they did.
And, you know, you're still keeping the public and, you know, you're still keeping us, you know, in the dark, so to speak. And, you know, this thing hasn't, you know, this just didn't pop up. I mean, I really believe, and, you know, when Mayor Bing, which I voted for, when he came into office, I wished him nothing but the best. But to be honest about it, I think he is in over his head.
Yeah.
And he doesn't understand, as I speak about this, he doesn't understand the enormity of this thing called Detroit. And, I mean, it is huge. It's huge. And, I mean, and as you mentioned, that, you know, now you heard the slogan, so goes Detroit, so goes the state.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, if Detroit is sick, I mean, you know, come on. You know, the region around here, it doesn't do well because, I mean, we're kind of like the living room of the metropolitan area down here. And, you know, I'm a realist and I'm an optimist also. I mean, right now, Detroit is not a well city. We are in the ER, kind of like on life support, okay? Hopefully we got a good, you know, surgeon who's going to try and get this thing right. But, you know, down the road, you know, there are better days ahead of us.
Well, now, Tom, let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Let's just juxtapose the mayor's office against that of the city council. The city council is already complaining that the mayor has not been forthcoming about his plan to save the city, which he's supposedly going to outline tonight at 6 p.m. on, you know, he's getting time on all of the major networks. Right. Do you believe that the city council or the mayor's office are better prepared to deal with this issue?
Oh, God. Well, with inflation, that's the $64 million question. Okay, it used to be the $64,000 question.
Well, but here's it. By extension, Tom, if it's neither one of them, the next option is an emergency manager. Do you think that's...
Well, exactly. And, as obviously, you know, with DPS, I mean, it's costing... We just finished paying in terms of what former manager Bob, you know, laid on us. We paid $8,500 into a tip fund to help the district, you know, out of its malaise, to use that term. Now, Mr. Roberts comes in, and across the board, he says he wants 10%. That's going to cost me another $7,300, Tony, over the, what, a 10%? It's going to cost me $7,300 in an annual school year. So, and it's just not me, but there are quite a few others of us.
All right, the answer to the question, because we got to get to the break, Tom, the mayor, the city council, or an emergency financial manager, in your opinion?
Oh, God, I'd hate to see a financial manager come in, but, you know, it's kind of like obvious, you know, who's there is not doing the job right.
Okay. Tom, thanks so much. As always, appreciate what you have to say. We're open lines, folks. Certainly... like to stay on this topic. If you've got something to add, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. The city of Detroit is in dire need of help. What to do? We'll be back.
Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. There is no reason not to follow your heart.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we, as the Michigan Board, will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Listen, folks, a quick reminder before I go on with our topics this morning. For those of you that are interested in forming a union in your workplace, I've got a special phone number just for you. And, you know, I've now been at this a couple weeks. I don't know if anybody's called, to be honest with you. There could have been 400 calls or could have been no calls. I have no idea. This is for you. This isn't for me. This does not go to my office. But I have a phone number for you. For those of you that are in a situation where you know that you're not being treated properly, you know that management has unfairly been taking advantage of you and your coworkers for some time now. You just don't know how, or you don't have the courage, and I would understand that. This is a very daunting, can be a very daunting process. I've got help for you. If you call this number, write it down, 1-800-321-6406, 800-321-6406. Just tell them, you don't have to give them your name, just tell them why you're calling, and get all the information you need, and then make an educated decision. As we get towards the end of the year, wouldn't it be a great way to give yourself and your coworkers a gift of a lifetime, really, by organizing a union in your workplace? I think it would, and I truly do. And again, it can, as this is anonymous. So just give this number a call, 1-800-321-6406. Let them know that you need some information. I promise it gets you one step closer to the kind of dignity you deserve in the workplace, and I'd like to see that happen for you. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Again, I want to remind you, if you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Sam in Detroit. Sam, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm calling about this $1.7 million. Are you kidding me? It costs that much money to review their finances?
Well, that's what they were charged, and that's what they pay. Taxpayer dollars, by the way, Sam, absolutely.
Does that seem on the up and up to you?
No, not at all.
Seems like a scam of some kind, doesn't it?
Well, you know, Sam, listen, you know, I'm running
a
city.
I'll do it for 100. I'll do it for 100,000.
Do you have the credentials?
What's it take to look? You're telling me it costs $1.7 million to look at the finance of a city? Are you kidding me?
I'm not saying it takes that. I'm saying that's what they paid.
So what, you tell me what your opinion then is.
My opinion is they overpaid for that service. My opinion is this mayor is in over his head. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing, Sam. That's my opinion.
They're millions of dollars of debt, and they can afford to pay over $1.5 million to get look and review their finances. This is a total. They don't have people internally that can look at this?
Apparently, they have no confidence in themselves, Sam. That's the message that this sends. What the mayor did by paying $1.7 million to Plante Moran to audit their books, to give them a snapshot of what they already knew was a problem, is to me almost a sin, because they don't have $1.7 million to be giving away like that.
Okay, thanks.
You bet. I'm with you, Sam. I understand your outrage. I completely get it. I don't envy the good people of the city of Detroit, especially those that have fought very hard and have stayed there. You know, we got to give them a lot of credit. You want to know why there has been such massive flight from the city of Detroit? Between what, you know, Kwame Kilpatrick did and what Mayor Bing's now doing, why would you stay? Well, you stay out of a sense of loyalty and respect and tradition to your city. And don't discount that. Don't discount that. I give those folks a lot of credit for hanging in there. But at some point, when your taxes are astronomical, when the only way that the mayor sees to balance the budget is to raise your property tax, well, that's when you know that there's a problem, because you have people leaving quicker than you have people moving in. You're never going to replace the revenue. You've got legacy costs to a city that should have been addressed years ago that were ignored. You have a mayor that ran on this idea that he would come in, prioritize what needed to happen, and make quick changes, and he did none of that. You know, folks, are you aware that, you know, people say, well, Mayor Bing was a successful businessman. Bing Steel went bankrupt. They went out of business. This was not a successful endeavor for the mayor. But nobody ever seems to mention that. This is not a man that has his head wrapped around this problem. And then you begin to wonder, who's he surrounding himself with that he has to go to consultants to tell him what was obviously a problem? When you're spending $1.7 million to buy an answer that you already had, to a question that you already have the answer to, there's a serious problem there. Now, let's take it one step further. He doesn't communicate with the city council. Just, 6 weeks ago, the city council comes to the mayor and says, we respect your budget, we need to make deeper cuts. The mayor says no. Showdown in the city, folks. We all watched it unfold. I don't know that the city council has the leadership to do this. I just don't. Now, again, the mayor continues to say that this is a problem that the union created. This is not a problem the union created. And again, why is it that every politician feels like they can balance the budget on the back of the middle class? That offends me to no end. That offends me to no end. But it's what they're all doing. They're doing it at the state level. They're doing it at the county level. They're doing it at the city level, as this mayor is trying to do once again. They even said yesterday, if they cut 2,200 jobs, it wouldn't help. 2,200 jobs, it wouldn't help. It makes you wonder. It really makes you wonder. 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. Let's go to the phones and welcome Don. Don, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Yeah, one problem is that there's no revenue sharing with the state either.
Well, the revenue sharing was cut. Absolutely. That's been a profound problem for every city, Don.
Right. And in addition to the state not revenue sharing with the city, they're taking in funds from the city in taxes, but they're not giving anything back. And if you don't invest in a major city in a metropolis area, what do you expect to happen if you don't invest in the people or the city? I am a long-standing Detroiter for over 57 years. I'm not leaving, but I do feel the city is going down.
Well, this is you're exactly the person I was talking about that's loyal. And again, we don't discount that. And I appreciate you're loyal. You're not willing to give up. You're willing to fight for your city. People, we need you, Don. We need you. At what point, though, do they start honoring the commitment that you've made by making the tough and the right decisions? And I don't see them doing it, Don. All I see them is going into your pocket and taking more money. That's all I've ever seen any mayor do is literally screw the people that have stayed and fought for this city. And it's wrong, Don. It's wrong. It's dead wrong.
It is wrong. You're right.
All right. Don, thank you for your time. We're just out of time this hour, but we'll certainly be coming back to this a little later on in the show in the next hour. We will have some time for open lines. We'll also have Tommy Nugent with us at 7:05. So you're going to want to stay where you're at. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather. CNN with headline news. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. Traffic coming in I-96 eastbound. You know, a lot of drivers make that commute from US 23 all the way in toward 275. Those coming in from Brighton in toward Novi, you see the heavier traffic in the morning on the eastbound side. It hasn't been too bad so far this morning, but it is building for those getting closer toward Metro Detroit.
Brighten your home for the holidays. Get $3 instant discounts on select energy-efficient LED light strings at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/saveenergy.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Mostly cloudy skies today. Our high only 45, but that will be dropping. Tonight a chance of flurries, a low near 28. Tomorrow a chance of flurries and a high near 38. Right now we've got some light fog near the airport and 49 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
This hour, the U.S. and Australia are increasing military cooperation at a time when Asian countries are more and more concerned about China. Speaking in Australia's capital, President Obama insists the American military presence in Australia is not driven by fear of China, but he does say China needs to be a good neighbor militarily and economically.
It's important for them to play by the rules of the road and, in fact, help underwrite the rules that have allowed so much remarkable economic progress to be made over the last several decades.
The Congressional Super Committee has just a week to come up with at least $1.2 trillion in spending cuts over the next 10 years. Democratic Congressman Heath Shuler says it's time to go big, and he says that includes tackling entitlement programs.
You cannot make a huge difference without looking at Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. It's not that you are cutting them, it's you reform them just the way we're going to do the taxes.
More than three-quarters of people questioned in a new CNN Opinion Research Corporation poll doubt the Super Committee will agree on the spending cuts by next week's deadline. Herman Cain's campaign may have another fire to put out. GQ magazine released excerpts from an interview in which Cain reportedly says a prominent Muslim friend told him that most Muslims in America have extremist views. CNN's Shannon Travis pressed Cain on that issue.
Should you have more information than one person telling you that before making a comment like that?
Well, you can argue yes, and you can argue no. I wasn't doing a survey. I was simply restating what a very prominent Muslim, peaceful Muslim, told me, and I was sharing that in that particular interview.
Two senators from different sides of the political aisle are actually working together on a jobs bill. Republican Marco Rubio and Democrat Chris Coons have come up with a bill they hope will gain support from their colleagues where other bills have failed. They say they haven't talked to the White House about it yet, though. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Glazed ham, cheesecake. The holidays are so close, I can almost taste them.
You can at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club event. Sample delicious entrees, desserts, and more. And everyone's invited.
It's the perfect time to taste and join.
Sign up at the event and get a $10 gift card, plus a $20 gift certificate good the day after Thanksgiving, November 25th.
I'm there.
Look for the insert in your paper this Wednesday. Then visit Sam's Club November 18th through the 20th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sam's Club, savings made simple. $20 gift certificate good with $50 purchase.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
3,000 jobs at Citigroup soon could be cut. Wall Street Journal says among the cuts would be 900 in the securities banking division, about 5% of that unit, although the exact number of cuts is subject to change. One of the world's top TV makers now wants to be a top provider of programming. Reports say Sony is talking with broadcast and cable channel operators about starting a pay TV service using the Internet. It would rival cable and satellite providers. Sony's not the only company looking into this. Google also is considering a move. Another step in Apple's journey toward becoming a post-Steve Jobs company, the board has named Arthur Levinson non-executive chairman. Levinson is a research scientist who has worked at Genentech for more than three decades. Fresh worry about Europe's debt crisis as Spanish and French bond yields reach new records. European markets are down, S&P futures falling 12 points, NASDAQ futures losing 14. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Account Temps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Account Temps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Account Temps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
We all know that email marketing from Constant Contact is a powerful tool for small businesses. But now, Constant Contact is kicking it up a notch, helping you tap into the wonderful world of social media. Your customer now gets your informative email, but with an extra boost, a share button that lets them spread your message to all their friends. So your powerful email is now a super powerful social media email. And super powerful is way better than powerful. Go to ConstantContact.com and sign up for a free 60-day trial today.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, welcome indeed. It's a pleasure to be back with you on this Wednesday morning. You know, we started the show, if you're just joining us, talking about, and we will throughout the course of the program today talk about the financial really calamity that has become the city of Detroit and what will be done to fix it. Controversy doesn't come close to describing what will happen moving forward, but we'll get to that a little bit later. As we do every day in this hour at 7:50, we will visit with Occupy Detroit. And actually, we're going to spend a lot of time on Occupy Detroit in this hour as my first guest is going to be doing a fundraiser for them. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I want to, of course, always offer you an opportunity to engage with us here on First Shift. All you have to do is call the toll-free number, 888-552-3595. Send an email to tony@thetonyshow.org. And, of course, you can always connect with us on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. All right. Joining me now is Tommy Nugent. Tommy is an accomplished author, performer, teacher, guide, also known as the Preacher Man. He is doing a benefit for Occupy Detroit and an organization that is part of the Burning Man concept. What is Burning Man? Well, that is an interesting story in and of itself, because even after reading about it, I don't know that I can explain it, to be honest with you. But maybe Tommy can help us out here. So let's welcome to First Shift Tommy Nugent. Tommy, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Tony, thanks for having me.
Thanks
for the voice you've helped Occupy Detroit develop.
Well, I appreciate that. Listen, it's their voice. I've just given them a larger microphone to get it out there. But I appreciate you saying that, Tommy. That's very nice. You are going to be doing a fundraiser for them. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But let's talk a little bit about Tommy Nugent. I find you fascinating. You certainly are here in our own backyard. And I get the feeling that you're, you know, like a lot of people that have done very well nationally, but maybe not so well known in their own hometown. Am I right?
Yeah, that's been the case. I've done Preacher Man 65 times in 8 different cities in 2 countries, and I've never played at home until next Wednesday.
All right. Now tell us, what is Preacher Man all about, Tommy Nugent?
It's my show, my story. From 21 years old, moving into Southwest Detroit and starting a Pentecostal church, to having a twist of fate and a loss of faith, and being 22 years old, bartending at a strip club. And then the second half of this show, and that's all before moving to Las Vegas as a professional gambler and then dropping out of law school. So just the same story we've all heard a million times.
Well, no, I don't know that it's the same story we've all heard a million times, so let's be fair on that. Obviously, Tommy, you feel like, and you do have a message, and it's something that you want to share with people. I certainly would, after reading what I've read, would consider you a motivational speaker at some level. And you know, that's not an easy thing to do. I've done it. It's a challenge. There are certain expectations. Obviously, there's a lot of great stuff on the internet about you. So you obviously are accomplishing something along those lines. So tell us a little bit about this benefit. This isn't just for, of course, Occupy Detroit. You are also making a donation to this Burning Man concept, which we'll talk about in just a moment. So let's talk about what's happening on the 23rd, where it's at, what it's going to cost, all that good stuff.
Sure. It's at 1515 Broadway, which is both the name and the location, just to make it simple, which is a great little spot that I actually found because of Occupy. The owner, Chris, kind of an old-school activist, started the Detroit chapter of Vietnam Veterans Against the War way back. And he's been real Occupy-friendly and let us use his spot for meetings. And going there, I tried to just try and give a little business back, and that's where I would go have my coffee. And I peeked around the back corner and saw this fantastic 100-seat theater. And he happened to have production postponed until spring, so we had some open spots now, and we jumped in for next Wednesday, the night before Thanksgiving, at 8 p.m. at 1515 Broadway. And tickets are $15. 20% goes to Occupy Detroit and Burners Without Borders.
All right, so this audience knows what Occupy Detroit is, so we don't have to define that, Tommy Nugent. But Burners Without Borders. All right, pal, here we go. Explain what that's all about. Again, I've read it. I think I get it, but if you're going to ask me to explain it, I'm lost.
Fair enough. And I take the second half of my show. The first half of the show is kind of the preacher man story. In the second half, I had maybe something of an early midlife crisis, and instead of buying a car, I took two trips to the Burning Man Festival in Northern Nevada, which is an eight-day arts festival and experiment and temporary community based on radical self-expression and radical self-reliance. Radical self-reliance because there's a gift-based economy, so no money is supposed to change hands there, and you need to bring everything you're going to need to survive in the desert for a week. And then radical self-expression because kind of anything goes as far as expressing yourself. I've heard it described as a cross between Woodstock, a rave, and a Mad Max movie.
Well, there's a visual for you.
Absolutely. My first visual, I was setting my tent up, and I heard someone yell, "Welcome to Burning Man," and I turned around, and there was a guy who was 75 years old if he was a day, and he was wearing a sombrero, a T-shirt, rubber boots, and nothing else, and his junk was spray-painted green. So that was my first visual of Burning Man.
Okay. Well, and that'll get burned in your memory bank, that's for sure. Yeah, that's not something that you quickly would forget. It's interesting, Tommy Nugent, as we talk about and we think about the things that deserve support. There are a lot of things, and choosing one over another, it's something that I have to deal with. We would love to be able to support everything that comes our way. I understand, the Occupy movement has its own appeal, but what is it for you? One of the things that we've tried to develop with the Occupy Detroit story, and we will with our guest today, is get into people's personal connection. What's your personal connection? What was it about Occupy Detroit that turned you on?
Yeah, if I could just back up a tiny bit, because I a little bit misanswered your last question. I did want to mention that Burners Without Borders is a local group of kind of Burning Men enthusiasts, and one of the things they're known for is they pack up complete backpacks with everything that someone might need and distribute it to homeless folks around Detroit. So I kind of missed that part of my last answer.
That's okay. That's a good thing to stop for.
All right, thanks a lot. Yeah, and Occupy, I've toured the Preacher Man show for several years, and I've also done four other solo shows, and all of those shows are kind of stories behind the storyteller. They're kind of the stories that happened to me while I was touring Preacher Man. So I'm always keeping an eye out for opportunity to throw myself somewhere that might make for an interesting narrative. And I was performing at a college near New York City and decided it would be worthwhile to drop in to Occupy Wall Street. And I put Zuccotti Park into Google and printed off the directions, flew into town, rented my car, and drove to the directions, attempting to go to Zuccotti Park, but Google plotted against me and sent me to Central Park. And I missed the Friday night event that I was going to visit with Occupy Wall Street, which just happened to be the day that they arrested 700 people on the Brooklyn Bridge. And my wife congratulated me on not getting arrested thanks to Google, but I still went down there the next day, and it was kind of as a goof. I just thought I would go down there and hang out and maybe talk to people and maybe something for a story. But I started to really feel the vibe of this thing, and the energy down there was amazing. And it was soon after that that I first heard about Occupy Detroit. And again, that became a little bit of a goof for me. I mean, I even went down with a Reverend Nuge sign, which is my stage character. I had a sign that said that Reverend Nuge, 99% love, 1%, and I'll clean it up, a-hole. And just because I thought that'd be a fun sign to goof around with, but I set the sign down for the General Assembly meeting and was blown away by how enthused people were, how passionate. One woman got up and said it was her birthday, her 60-something birthday, and she's been waiting for 30 years for this. And sitting there in that first General Assembly at Occupy Detroit, I just really started to believe in it. And I've been to every General Assembly since then. I've written some articles and cut some videos for the media team. I've been down there 18 or 19 times in the 3 or 4 weeks it's been going. And I have been content to live under a corrupt system so long as I could carve out my own little corner of the universe. But a couple things happened. Number one, my corner kept getting smaller and smaller. And then I realized that that's not the kind of disconnected life that I want to live. I mean, we are all connected to each other. So the fact that I know that there is a corrupt system, and if a movement jumps off that might fight against that system or try and change that system, then it felt right to lean in and move with it.
All right. Well, that makes a lot of sense. All right. Again, there's this fundraiser. Again, it's going to be for the Occupy Detroit movement and Burners Without Borders. It's at 1515 Broadway, and as Tommy and many people know, that it's not just the address, it's actually the name of the venue. At what time does the show start on the 23rd?
It starts at 8 p.m.
All right.
There's a quirk that as a fundraiser, you're allowed to host an after reception and you can give away wine and food. You, however, cannot advertise the fact that you're giving away wine and food, so I'm not going to do that.
All right, and I won't do that either because I need to respect the law there. So thank you for bringing that up because we wouldn't want to breach that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So, again, it's next Wednesday, November 23rd at 8 p.m. Now, can you get tickets in advance or just best to show up at 8 o'clock?
They have actually $12 tickets in advance at the location, and it is cash or check, and then you can get them at the door. My first hometown show of Preacher Man, and I'm representing Detroit all over the place, so I'm hoping we can get a good crowd.
Absolutely.
For the first show.
Absolutely excellent. Thank you, Tommy Nugent, so much, and if I can corral my wife, maybe we'll get out there Wednesday night. Might be fun to get out when I don't have to get up so early the next morning. Thanks so much, Tommy. We'll hope to visit with you again some other time.
Thanks, Tony. I'd love it.
You bet. Tommy Nugent, once again, a quick break here. We'll be back. Give us a call, 888-552-3595.
Oh, yeah, and come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by Ford Driving Skills for Life. It's overall a little lighter than normal so far this morning, but we still have our areas that are seeing some slow going, like it's starting to get a little busier, 696 near 75. Coming down M10, the stretch between 696 and Southfield, but then again also from M39 down toward the Davison, you got plenty of company there.
Wintertime driving can be hazardous, especially for newly licensed teen drivers. Visit Ford Driving Skills for Life's award-winning website at DrivingSkillsForLife.com for great safe driving tips.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are at our high for the day. Look for temperatures to be dropping from 45 down throughout the day to 28 tonight with a chance of flurries. Tomorrow, possible flurries and a high near 38. Last check at Metro Airport, still some light fog and 45 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
The greatest video game music, performed by the London Philharmonic Orchestra. Over 20 songs from games like Call of Duty, The Legend of Zelda, and Angry Birds. The greatest video game music, available now in stores and online.
recently on First Shift.
David Hecker, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers of Michigan.
About the American Jobs Act. The Republicans will stand up and vote no. But what I'd love them to stand up and say is I vote no because I think there should be 54 kids in a kindergarten class. I vote no because I don't care that the response time of police officers and firefighters have skyrocketed because of layoffs. Because that is the only reason someone would have to vote no is that they just don't care.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot. Just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles, quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Thanks for punching in with us on First Shift this morning. Our number, if you care to join us, we're actually going to be open lines until 7:50 when we visit with Occupy Detroit. So we have plenty of time to connect with you. Again, we've not had a lot of time to do that. So for those of you that have been wanting to give us a call, if you've got something on your mind, it's all good. Give us a call. We don't have anything particular that we absolutely need to talk about today. Certainly, we've been talking about the dire financial situation in the city of Detroit, how that will be resolved. For those of you that have not heard, Mayor Dave Bing has been given time on all the major networks at 6 p.m. tonight to address the situation. It is my understanding, based on what I've read, that he believes part of the fix is privatizing the Detroit Lighting Department and privatizing the Detroit Department of Transportation, amongst other things. He still is insisting that unions need to concede that they have to give back much more than they have to this point. And again, that's been a big part of his focus. Unfortunately, he continues to do this through the media and doesn't directly talk to the union. I believe that the mayor Bing has been an utter failure as a mayor. That is just my opinion. You have a right to disagree with me or to agree with me for that matter. I think he's been an utter failure, and part of the reason that they're in the situation they're in right now is he has not responded quickly enough and with enough leadership. And of course, we now have the ongoing issue of his relationship with his own city council, who is upset this morning that he is not letting them know in advance of his address at 6 o'clock this evening what it will be about. Frankly, that's just wrong, in my opinion. But hey, that's just my opinion. Anyway, if you'd like to join us, that's certainly one of the things we can talk about. Our number, 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. before I get to some of the audio that we have, and we do, I also want to tell you that Jeff and I were talking before the show today, and I'm a little concerned about you folks. I truly am. I think that people have become way too cynical. I think that we have forgotten to be happy about anything. I think that we are so mired in the muck that has become our political reality that we have allowed it to jade us to the point where we don't even know how to enjoy ourselves any longer. I post good news to the Facebook page, nothing but cynicism in response. I try to engage it on the show with lighter topics, and it gets no response. What does get response? The most difficult, the hard stuff that we talk about. Listen, I understand better than most folks. I spend an amazing amount of time researching and reading for this show on a daily basis. I mean, a massive amount of time. I read more bad news in a day than most people read in a month, and I'm not exaggerating. I get how that can skew the way you look at things and the way you respond and react to things. I understand that better than most. But I really am concerned. I really believe that we have become so cynical and so disgusted by the way things are that we've allowed it to creep into every single area of our lives. And that's just not healthy. Now, listen, I may be part of the problem. I'll be honest with you about that. And I'm not saying that we turn it off or we ignore or we stop those things that we're passionate about. I'm not suggesting that in any way, shape, or form. But, you know, as an example, and I said this earlier on in the show, one of the examples is, you know, Election Day last Tuesday, we came out of that. There should have been some celebratory time. I don't think anybody took it. I'm not saying, hey, we won everything, and then you just go, yay, all right, and then you move on. But certainly, you know, there are lessons in that, and some of them were positive. And we, you know, and again, maybe I'm part of the problem. Maybe I didn't spend enough time talking about the positives that came out of Election Day. I think we did. We talked extensively the rest of that week about the positive stuff that came from that. The labor leaders and strategists and everybody we could find, we talked about the positives of Election Day.
You think maybe right now people are just kind of skeptical? Like, okay, yeah, we should celebrate, but at the same time, do we really... Like they're just kind of skeptical. Like, show me first.
Maybe that's it. So if that's it, and I don't disagree that that could be part of it, show me first. Well, Election Day is a show me first. It certainly demonstrated for me that our hard work could be rewarded and was rewarded as we won so many issues that day. So yeah, but again, when we start breaking down the issues and we start looking at the reality and we know the Republicans have control, and then we see what's happening in the city of Detroit, yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff out there, and when you're kind of mired in that muck nonstop, okay, and when we're kind of mired in that, it's hard to see anything else. I totally get that. You know, and maybe this little exercise here right now is about making me feel better. I'll even be honest about that. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just being selfish. I don't know. 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org if you prefer to do this via email, and I just got one. And of course, on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Let's go to the phones and welcome Theo in Detroit. Good morning, Theo. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. Happy Wednesday to you.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. Happy Wednesday to you, too. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I just wanted to call and perk you up just a little bit.
I'll take that. I'll take some perking up.
Okay. I did want to weigh in on the presentation that's going to take place this evening. I think it's unfortunate that the mayor would have to spend so much money when there are solutions right here within the community, and he takes no time to talk to the residents or the council. One would be a reduction in the health insurance plan. My understanding is that there are two other companies, every bit as competent as Blue Cross, and they have put forth their proposal that they could cut the insurance by one-third, okay? Now, I wonder why no one bothered to take them up on it. Could it be that there's some, well, you wash my hand, I'll wash yours.
Yes, some cronyism.
Yes. Blue Cross did move in the city into the Renaissance Center. So you have to wonder who got paid for that. Then there is the issue of income tax that should be paid by non-residents that the mayor is not collecting. He even stated on one TV news interview that he was working on it. It doesn't take that long, Tony.
It's not rocket science. Real quickly, because we're up against the break here. Is there not a 0.5% income tax if you work in the city? Is that not how it is?
1.25.
1.25, okay. And they're not collecting it?
But no. You may have companies here and there that are collecting it, but for the most part, the answer is no.
Wow, that's crazy. Theo, we got to get to the break. Thank you for cheering me up a little bit. I appreciate that beautiful, wonderful voice. Absolutely. Call anytime. Mark and Warren, you're up next. Don't go anywhere. 888-552-3595. First Shift continues right after we take this quick break on 1310 WDTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Well, if you are driving through the area on the east side, come down 94 past 696. We're a little busy at that 8 Mile Vernier exit. We always have a lot of traffic in the morning getting off there. And then heading a little further west, you see a few pockets of heavy traffic down toward Van Dyke and in toward I-75. 75 a bit slow into the interchange with the Reuther. And then again, as you get a little closer to 94.
Drive through McDonald's today and try the new McCafe Peppermint Mocha. It's a perfect blend of smooth espresso and chocolate syrup with a hint of peppermint and freshly steamed milk. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are at our high for the day. Look for temperatures to be dropping from 45 down throughout the day to 28 tonight with a chance of flurries. Tomorrow, possible flurries and a high near 38. Last check at Metro Airport, still some light fog and 45 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. New York City cops in riot gear attacked the Occupy Wall Street encampment in an ugly pre-dawn raid, arresting hundreds of protesters and an unknown number of journalists, including reporters from the New York Times and Associated Press. Rebecca Mansky of the Occupy Wall Street media team says that a New York judge's temporary restraining order to stop the attack on the Occupy Wall Street camp was ignored by the cops.
Beth Bogart, who's on our press team, she went down there to wave that injunction in the face of the NYPD, and guess what happened to her? She got punched in her right eye, knocked to the ground by a police officer, something she'd never experienced in her life in all these years that she's been active.
SEIU's 32BJ Local has begun contract talks for 22,000 commercial office building cleaners in New York City. Local 32BJ's Matt Nerzig.
All we're trying to do is continue an ongoing relationship with the real estate industry here in New York to make sure that these men and women who keep some of the cities and some of the world's most famous skyscrapers and office buildings clean, to give them a contract that secures their income and their basic benefits so that they have enough to get by in New York.
This is part of a national effort by SEIU to transform jobs into good jobs to the benefit of both workers and the general economy.
This particular campaign is connected to many other campaigns around the country and part of a really an overall nationwide effort to secure the good jobs that we have and to see what we can do about adding new good jobs to the economy.
Target workers are pushing back against plans to open stores at midnight on Thanksgiving. Jesse Russell reports.
Target employee Anthony Hardwick of Omaha, Nebraska, started an online petition that has generated more than 100,000 signatures, asking Target CEO Greg Steinhoffel to reverse his decision so employees can fully enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday with their families. Hardwick says the decision to open doors at midnight, to essentially be the first store offering holiday sales on the biggest shopping day of the year, requires many employees to be at work by 11 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. The petition calls for the opening time to be returned to 5 a.m. Retailers have increasingly opened their stores earlier and earlier on the Friday after Thanksgiving in an attempt to maximize the number of hours consumers can shop. Due to many non-retail employers traditionally giving workers the Friday after Thanksgiving off, it's resulted in that day becoming known as the first shopping day of the holiday season. The day has also been referred to as Black Friday due to the headaches created by long lines, traffic snarls, and the stress on employees. However, retailers have attempted to claim in recent years that the name is related to turning a profit. The petition calling on Target to roll back its opening hours is posted at change.org.
This newscast made possible in part by the United Steelworkers and by OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. 35 minutes after the hour. Again, feel free to join us. We're going to be open lines until 7:50 when we allow Occupy Detroit to occupy first shift, as we do every day at that time. I do want to go to the phones and welcome Mark and Warren, who's been patiently waiting. Mark, thanks so much, and you're on the air.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for taking my telephone call.
My pleasure.
I would like to weigh in on the demeanor of your listeners. You know, I'll tell you what. I'll lighten up in about a year when we take back part of the house, and then I'll feel a little bit more comfortable. But right now, I mean, we're in the fight of our lives, and I understand that you're right. We have to have a little more optimism. We have to have a little bit better demeanor. But boy, oh boy, is it hard nowadays.
And Mark, I get that. Listen, like I said, I spend literally, you know, I'm not exaggerating now, 6 or 7 hours a day just reading negative stories. All right? And that doesn't count the email I get. It doesn't count, you know, prepping for the show and the topics we do on the show. You know, it doesn't count, the phone calls I get from people. So, yeah, I get that. But what I'm afraid of, Mark, and what I'm really afraid of is that people will get so down when it's time for us to really dig deep, and we need energy, and because we do need to be positive. If we go into this 2012 election cycle negative and angry, I don't know that anybody wins in that scenario.
Well, you know, that's where I have to agree wholeheartedly with you, because we have to watch that we're not emotional, because when I'm at the gym and I overhear people bashing unions and stuff, my first reaction is to get defensive, and it doesn't win the debate, because it's not an argument, it's a debate. We have to be clear and concise, we have to be strategic about how we, we have to transform people's thinking, because there's been a stagnation in Michigan for, I don't know, about 10 years with this anti-union rhetoric, this anti-democratic rhetoric, that we have to really actually educate the people of Michigan on what's going on.
Absolutely, Mark. This is absolutely an education effort. And let me tell you what's kind of worked for me most of the time. When I hear somebody talking negatively, especially about unions, but really, it works for any issue. I instead of saying, hey, you're wrong, what the hell is this all about? I ask them, why do you feel that way? Can you just please explain to me why you feel that way? And what happens is, as soon as they try to explain it, they don't have a reason.
You're right.
And so at that point, you can say, hey, listen, I understand, you know, that might be, you know, the perception of some people, but let me give you some facts. And when I approach it that way, I've had much more success in getting people to listen to me. Now, I'm not gonna naively tell you that, you know, everybody agrees with me and all of a sudden I got people, you know, marching to the same drummer. I'm not saying that, but at least they hear what I'm saying.
Well, we also have to beware of the hopelessness, because we, as you said, this past election cycle, we did have a lot of folks out voting. I vote in Warren, obviously, and it was a decent showing for an off-year election. However, the hopelessness that exists amongst the rank and file right now, with a bit of just cause. I mean, the legislature really has deaf ears to what the majority, I think, of Michiganders want, but we have to push aside that hopelessness, and we definitely have to stay organized, and we're gonna have to get our people out to vote next year and the following elections and take the state back and bring it back to its typical union glory. We should be an example to this nation
of what unionism is. And I agree. And, Mark, thank you for your call. I think last Tuesday was an example of what happens when people, especially within the union movement, work together in solidarity towards a singular cause. And we proved last Tuesday that we can and do still win.
See, that's not, I don't know if it's skepticism. Maybe I misstated it, but his call right there proved that. I think maybe people think if you celebrate or you feel good about what's being done, then you think the fight is over. And as he just said, it's not, you know, like, you got to keep going. You got to get the house, and we're in the middle of the fight still.
Well, we are, if not still closer to the beginning of it, Jeff. But I thought that Mark's call made a lot of sense, and it was nice to hear that kind of clarity. 888-552-3595. Let's welcome Mike and Clausen. Mike, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind, pal?
Good morning, Tony. I just wanted to know if you had heard anything through the grapevine or wherever, what the organized labor is doing regarding all these cities that had the cops acting like stormtroopers, and they all belong to a union, or at least most of them do, and it seems to me that there should be a backdoor effort by organized labor contacting these locals and find out what the hell are you guys doing,
You know, Mike, in some of these cities, and certainly I'll give you Portland as an example, although they did break up the movement in Portland, it wasn't the first attempt at it. The first time, and I believe the second time, Mike, the Portland police said, listen, they're not doing anything wrong. We're not going to listen to you. And that has happened in quite a few cities. But
obviously not in New York City.
Well, certainly not in New York City. And at some level, Mike, do we really want, and I'm just asking the question, do you really want the police going rogue? Maybe we do. You know what? Maybe we do. But, you know, if they're given a direct order by the mayor, and that order is you need to break up that park, what do you expect the police to do?
Well, it's not so much that they did it, it's how they've done it. Yeah, you don't act like a thug when you're trying to take follow orders, what have you. I mean, you can do it a hell of a lot more humanely,
yeah.
A hell of a lot more sensitive to what you. I mean, I saw some of the videos where they were using their batons and hitting the protesters in the gut with the.
Well, look what they did in Oakland, Mike. Look what they did in Oakland. I mean, there's somebody that may die as a result of this.
I know. I don't understand. I mean, I got a nephew just retired from a police force out in Northern California. I just can't picture Rick doing something like that. That's
right.
What I don't understand.
Well, I don't understand it either. And then we have, and Mike, thank you so much for your call. And then, of course, right. We have the example of the Detroit Occupy movement, which has been a model movement. A great relationship with the city, great relationship with police, great relationship with the media, great relationship with each other, great relationship with the homeless. I mean, this group, this Occupy Detroit group, has been truly the poster child for the Occupy movement, in my biased opinion.
Isn't it awesome, too? I mean, you think about, I know I'm from the sports world, so you think Detroit kind of gets a bad rap for being, you know, just this unruly city, I guess. You look around Oakland, even now New York and a lot of these other movements, like, you're right, the relationship there, it's not, you know, if the police bust in or they have a problem with somebody, the occupiers are taking care of the unruly people, and they actually have a dialogue going, not necessarily, an actual police force movement, you know? I mean, like, they can actually talk and talk things out, then they need to get force involved.
Well, you know, and that's the interesting thing. You'll remember, Jeff, because you've been here for every one of these. This was probably when we first started doing this 750 slot. We talked about the police being there for the occupiers. And if there was a problem, they were able to get to the police immediately, and the police were able to come in and take care of any illegal activity that was making the occupiers nervous. And so they actually had a partnership, God forbid.
The police were protecting and serving?
Yeah. Wow. And that's not a surprise, but that they were doing it with in partnership with the Occupy movement. Again, it shouldn't be surprising to anybody. It's a wonderful thing And again, it's a reminder. We had one of the people that we've had on 750 said, and it's true, the police are also part of the 99%, Jeff. A lot of these, especially police officers, pensions have been screwed by their 401ks, which have gone in the toilet because of what's happened on Wall Street.
Yeah, it's just amazing that you see what happens in like Portland or Oakland or New York, and
it's unnecessary.
If they would just do what they've done here in Detroit,
it's unnecessary. I mean, that's the profound truth, is it's unnecessary. You know, and it makes you wonder. Listen, I said this the other day, and I'll say it again, Jeff. It's not like there aren't some people that want that do want violence. There are. Let's be honest about it. There are people that want the violence because, but for whatever reason, that's what turns them on. Well, but that is such a small, minute percentage of the occupiers. And, you know, common sense and cooler heads have prevailed throughout this entire thing. As we'll discuss here in, almost 6 minutes, you know, they were able to work with the city of Detroit to extend their permit for another week. The police even said beforehand that they were not going to evict and they were not going to arrest anybody. Jeff, why is that? I mean, why is it? I mean, it's a simple answer.
I don't know.
Mutual respect. Mutual respect. It's that simple. You showed them respect. It's like anything else, Jeff. Even our relationship, when we first met, we showed each other mutual respect. We didn't know each other, but there was a certain decorum that we took with one another, and it's, you know, it's like every other relationship. You know, you will assume that I'll assume you're professional until you prove to me otherwise.
Right. You give the benefit of the doubt initially.
Absolutely. And that's what has happened here in Detroit. Again, we should be very proud. You know, when they write about the Occupy movement, Detroit rarely gets mentioned. They mention Chicago and Boston and New York and Portland and Oakland. Yet Detroit has been truly the model Occupy movement. And it's not like it's been insignificant. And they've had some victories, including extending their permit another week. So lots of great stuff happening here. And I'm very proud of the Occupy Detroit movement. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we are going to let Occupy Detroit occupy First Shift for a while. And we've got a great guest coming up for you. Clarissa Fields will be joining us, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. Of course, if you'd like to join us while Clarissa's on, the phone number is toll-free, 888-552-3595. Just make it topical to our segment, and you're welcome to join us. Thanks for everybody that's called in the last half hour. We do need to get to the break. I'm Tony Truppiano, and this is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
We're going to focus on the number one priority on Americans' minds right now, and that is creating jobs. If we have to drag the Republicans with us, then we'll do that.
On 1310
WDTW. Recently on First Shift.
So joining me now is the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift.
There's a lot of work to be done, and there's a great opportunity to come together and work on turning things around in Michigan. And the AFL is the centerpiece of the movement for standing up for working men and women and protecting the middle class and fighting for good jobs with fair pay and benefits.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310. WDTW.
Good news for anyone with a roofing problem, because you could use a little. GAF Timberline shingles have a lifetime limited warranty and are backed by GAF's advanced protection technology for long-term performance and wind resistance, no matter where you live. They're North America's number one seller, and they're affordably priced at the Home Depot, just like everything else you'll need for an integrated watertight roofing system. GAF shingles, quality you can trust. See limited warranty for complete coverage and restrictions.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we, as the Michigan Board, will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
Well, it's 7:50, and that only means one thing in my world anymore, at least 7:50 a.m., and that it's time for Occupy Detroit here on First Shift. You know, it's really interesting how many people have quickly come to rely on this time as Occupy Detroit time, and so I think that's wonderful. I mean, and people even write me, "Hey, it's 7:50 tomorrow." It's just very cool. Well, what's also very cool is our next guest. So let's go to her. Joining me now is Clarissa Fields. She is part of the Occupy Detroit movement, and she is here today to share lots of information with us. Clarissa, first of all, let me welcome you to First Shift, and thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit, Clarissa, about your personal story. You know, we've been asking people as they've joined us every single day what their connection, the personal connection is to the Occupy movement. So we're also curious what yours is.
So for me, I have, as long as I can remember, been all about fighting for social and economic justice. I come from a union family. I walked on my first picket line when I was 3 years old, and from there studied in school wanting to make a difference and make a change. And so this movement really goes to show that there really is numbers within power, that enough is enough, and people are sick and tired of being on the outside end, of not being the ones who are being taken care of. And so I'm part of the beauty of being a part of this is that there are so many people from different walks of life fighting for the 99%. And I'm passionate about making change. And the other thing on a personal note is I am sick and tired of people going without. I'm sick and tired of people talking about that they can't find a job. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the banks and the 1%. And so I'm part of the movement because I'm hoping to continue to make some significant change with others.
Well, and then that's a beautiful thing to hear. It truly is. And certainly your message resonates with me, and I would think most of my audience as well, Clarissa. And as we kind of look at the plight of modern day people, I don't know how old you are, but certainly, you know, one of the things that we've kind of traditionally relied on is that the next generation would do just a little bit better than the generation before them. We now know with great certainty that that will not be true of your generation, at least unless something remarkable happens to turn things around the way they stand right now. That's kind of a daunting thing to know, to look forward and saying, I'm not going to do better than my parents, to be the first generation for that to happen to without it being any fault of your own, by the way.
Right. It's a huge concern. And then I think for a while before this started, people were wondering, I mean, at least I was wondering, when was my generation going to wake up, right? How long were we going to sit around and let all of this stuff happen? How long were we going to sit around and complain about student debt before we actually got out there on the streets and started to do something about it? So to me, that's what's really inspiring about this movement as well, is that young people who are not even political at all are are on the forefront, are on the lines doing this work. We've got Occupy movements in cities where you wouldn't even imagine. Every day I look on Facebook and I find a new city, and I'm saying, Occupy Alaska? Really? People are in Alaska? Students are getting together, young people are getting together, older people are getting together, because everybody is tired.
Well, it's an amazing movement. It truly is. And I was saying before you were on in the last segment that the Detroit Occupy movement really has become, in my opinion anyway, and I recognize my bias, but it has become really the model Occupy movement in the country. You have a perfect relationship with the city. You have a perfect relationship with the police, with each other, with the homeless. I could go on and on and on. When you have asked for something, you know, my audience has been very generous to the Occupy Detroit movement, and it's because I think they really see that there is, Clarissa Fields, a connection to what it is that you are seeking, this whole idea that we don't have a message, which of course we do, but they have a clear idea of what it is you're seeking, and they also see that you're accomplishing what you're seeking. How can that fail? I just don't think it can.
No, I don't. I think so as well. We do have, it is a beauty. We do have a great relationship. You know, the article that came out in the Free Press yesterday about the fact that the police chief even agreed that he's never had any issues with us, and our permit was extended to 1 month, and we are focused on really the work. It's great that we were able to occupy the park as long as we have been. It is a wonderful symbol for us, but we are working towards moving and doing other things. I think that that is the beauty of this as well, is that there's more work to be done. There's a lot of people to be helped in the city, and so if we can continue to do that and continue to build on the work that we're doing, we're making progress.
No question. So let's talk just briefly about the permit. It was extended for another week, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and we want to make sure that, you know, one of the things we try to do in this segment, Clarissa, is make sure that people get truth. So that's one of the truths, is that the permit was extended for another week. You kind of referenced something that I wanted to get to next, which is, you know, that there are plans in the works. We don't need to know all the details now. What we do beyond that week, and as that information becomes clearer and by general consensus is voted on, then we'll report that as well, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
All right. Well, I know we've got Thanksgiving coming up on Sunday. The Occupy Thanksgiving is on Sunday, and I'll just remind people that starts at 4:00 at Grand Circus Park. If people wanted to bring food, again, I want to remind you guys, it needs to be already prepared. So if you're going to bring a turkey, it needs to be a cooked turkey. If you're bringing mashed potatoes, they need to be cooked. Make sure they're hot, please. I like hot mashed potatoes. So if you want to bring food, bring food. I know that they're also doing a fashion show. As always, if you have something that you want to donate, just send me an email and I will connect you to somebody with the Occupy movement, and they will coordinate making sure that everything goes smoothly. And again, my email address is tony@thetonyshow.org. Clarissa, anything else coming up that we need to know about?
Yeah, this Thursday there's a march against austerity. We're going to be marching from Grand Circus Park to the City County Building. It goes from 3 p.m. to about 6 p.m.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's the National Day of Action. There's a lot of different actions going on. There's also a bridge action that's happening on 2nd Avenue over I-94 on that day at 4 p.m., I believe, with some of your labor unions. And just keep a watch out for a lot of marches and stuff going on around the country on Thursday as well. I know in New York there's a huge labor march as well with Occupy Wall Street.
All right. Well, again, another place to get a lot of great information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is their website, which is occupy-detroit.us, occupy-detroit.us. I want to remind you again, at the very top of that page is a donate button. If you want to donate $5, $25, $1,000, they're always happy to take money. They're going to be using it responsibly, as we can tell. So feel free to donate. It's right at the top of that webpage. Clarissa Fields, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to perhaps talking to you again.
Yes, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Clarissa Fields with the Occupy Detroit movement. When we come back, Stephen Henderson, we're going to get to the financial crisis in Detroit, amongst other issues. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news, Tony Truppiano with you. This is First Shift on 1310. WDTW. A quick break and we'll be back.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes some big delays along the Reuther. Westbound 696 as you come off of 94. Look for the backups because we've got an accident working, looks like for drivers at Shaner. You clear that, you've got heavy traffic, and then another accident out near Cousins for those trying to get toward I-75.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're at our high for the day. Look for temperatures to be dropping from 45 down throughout the day to 28 tonight with a chance of flurries. Tomorrow, possible flurries and a high near 38. Last check at Metro Airport, still some light fog and 45 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW.
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, Penn State assistant football coach Mike McQuarrie insists in an email that he did talk to police about the alleged rape of a boy by a former coach, Jerry Sandusky. Sarah Ganim of the Harrisburg Patriot News says McQuarrie is ultimately one of the most important people in the case.
He's a key witness against Jerry Sandusky because he was an eyewitness to a sexual assault, and he is really the sole witness against two Penn State officials charged with perjury and with failure to report.
President Obama and the Australian Prime Minister announced an increased American military presence in Australia. This is widely seen as a counterweight to China's rising military might in the Pacific region. Mr. Obama also says the American and Australian militaries are working well together in Afghanistan.
Our troops, American and Australian, will draw down responsibly together so that we preserve the progress that we've made. And by 2014, Afghans will take full responsibility for security in their country.
The Congressional Super Committee has a week to come up with at least $1.2 trillion in spending cuts over the next decade. If it doesn't, automatic cuts will take effect. Republican Senator Saxby Chambliss says spending cuts alone won't do it. He says there need to be reforms in the tax system.
You will allow corporations to invest their money here in America that's now sitting on the sidelines here in America, and you can broaden the tax base because what they'll do is they'll put people back to work and they'll expand the business to hire new people.
Former House Speaker and Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich has been surging in the recent polls. He tells CNN's Jim Acosta he made a mistake by initially bringing in conventional consultants to help run his campaign.
Much like Reagan and Margaret Thatcher, I'm such an unconventional political figure that you really need to design a very unique campaign that fits the way I operate and what I'm trying to do.
We're just now getting word that a force of Syrian military defectors struck a government security complex on the outskirts of Damascus today. The Syrian army concedes there are reports of damage at that complex. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the big tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the big tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a big tire event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
More shoppers are going to Target and are buying more when they get there. The company reports bigger than expected earnings and sales increases for the third quarter. Ricky and Lucy are packing up the car and heading back east. Los Angeles Times reports television production in and around L.A. is down 37% from this time last year. The main reason, a record amount of TV production in New York City. There soon could be new ways to get your TV programming. Wall Street Journal reports Sony is negotiating rights to carry cable channels on a service that would stream through the net. Europe's central bank is warning of prolonged systemic issues stemming from the current debt crisis on the continent. Many are taking that statement as a hint more stimulus measures may be coming, but traders still are accentuating the negative. European markets down. S&P futures losing 9 points. NASDAQ futures right now falling 8. Dow futures down 61 points. In early trades, oil futures also moving down a dime a barrel. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
They employ much of the world's workforce, contribute a great deal to the global GDP. Look out your window and you'll see a bunch of them, building, collaborating, innovating. Some call them mid-sized businesses, but there's nothing mid about them. They're engines, and we'd like to introduce them to you. IBM and the Good Company Project are proud to present some of the most inspired mid-sized companies and their business partners, helping to build a smarter planet. Get to know these engines by visiting facebook.com/midmarketIBM. Mid-sized businesses are the engines of a smarter planet.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the big tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the big tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy 4 select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a big tire event. Everything about it is
big.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Blurriness, wavy lines, blind spot, these are all symptoms of a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, also known as wet AMD. It can develop quickly, and it's a leading cause of blindness in people 60 and older. Learn about your risk factors and find out how a retina specialist can help. Just visit amdawareness.org. And if you aren't seeing clearly, get checked now. Knowing the symptoms may save your sight. Learn more at amdawareness.org today. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
And welcome back. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. A little somber in this hour for profoundly good reasons. And we're going to get to those in just a moment. We will have time for open lines a little bit later on in the hour today. So stay tuned for that. Of course, you're always welcome to join us. Again, as always, stay topical to the guests. 888-552-3595 is our number. I do want to thank the myriad of callers we've had today. We've had great phone traffic today, all over the spectrum, and certainly we've heard from a lot of Detroiters on what might happen at 6 p.m. this evening with regard to Dave Bing. And we're going to get into that with Stephen Henderson in just a moment. So why don't you go ahead, Jeff? Give me my intro and we'll get started.
Joining us now,
editor of the Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson.
And Stephen Henderson does join us. Now, for those of you who subscribe to the Free Press or go online, as I do first thing every morning, you're going to find his column that is titled Detroit's Clock Striking Midnight. It may be the most stark and profoundly important thing you read today. Anybody that lives in Michigan should care about what happens to the city of Detroit, as we said very early this morning, and it bears repeating, so goes Detroit, so goes the state. I have also expressed my deep, deep concern for the leadership of this mayor and the way he is carrying himself in this critical hour. That is just my opinion. But joining us now is Stephen Henderson to talk about what's going on, among some other things, as we have time. Stephen, thanks so much for giving us of your time again this morning.
No problem. Good to be here.
Listen, I really enjoyed, if that's the right word, that at 3 o'clock this morning when I read your piece. Well, it's an important, it's a critical discussion, and I think you offer some important pointers for the mayor if he is reading this morning over breakfast in his coffee and orange juice. Tonight at 6 o'clock, the television networks will give him some time to make his case to the people of not just the city of Detroit, Stephen, but as I suggested, to the entire state of Michigan. Yeah. The Detroit matters. It matters in profoundly important ways to the economic engine of the state of Michigan. What he needs to talk about and what he needs to say at 6 o'clock this evening, Stephen Anderson, is not just a message for the city.
No, I think that's right. I mean, I think it's, as you point out, the city is still a very important economic engine. It's still the sort of cultural and social epicenter of Michigan as well. And, if the city goes away, in the sense that it runs out of money or has to file a bankruptcy, everybody in Michigan will be affected by that. And so what he decides to do to prevent that from happening I can't think of, it seems like we say this all the time right now here in Michigan. Every day it seems like there's the next, every day brings the next, oh my gosh, this is the biggest thing that's ever happened kind of event. But I mean, I think I can't remember a more sort of pivotal event than this speech tonight that he's going to give, where he's going to say, this is how we dig out of this hole. And like you said, it's important for Detroiters, but it's important for everybody in the state. And
there's no question. I have to tell you, one of the things that, and this just naturally happens when you do a story like this, we played some audio from WXYZ TV Channel 7 on a report that they did in the 11 o'clock news last night. And they reference in there a $1.7 million study that the city commissioned Plant Moran to do, an audit, if you will, of the city finances. There were no exceptions. All of the Detroit callers this morning seemed to pick that number out of that piece and were outraged that he spent that kind of money to know what he already knew, which is the city is in trouble.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's interesting about that report is that my understanding is that the city was told to get that report by the state treasurer's office, which has been working with the city to try to, sort out this financial hole that they've dug for themselves, and was getting frustrated because the numbers that they were getting from the city would change, that there were all of these sort of variances that would show up in the accounting, my understanding is that the treasurer's office said, look, we need you guys to get a cash flow audit, which is a very different audit than like a structural audit, but it was designed to look at what money the city actually has is spending and where. And so, I agree that $1.7 million for that seems like a lot of money, but I also think that I know how tall a task that is to produce that kind of report, and Ernst & Young, the firm that did it, is, that's not a group of slouches. I mean, they're very, very good at what they do. I'm not sure you could have gotten it done cheaper, but I think the more alarming point is, again, that the treasurer's office is even having a hard time sorting out what really is going on with the city's finances and coming up with a way to fix them.
Okay, and I know you can't answer this question, Stephen, but you have to ask it. Why don't they know? How can they not put their arms around this?
Well, and I think some of the problem, again, is trying to figure out how to deal with problems that we've had for about 30 years. I mean, our legacy debt that we're carrying in the city is crushing us. But there are not a lot of appealing options to restructuring that. I mean, almost anything you do is going to inspire the political backlash either in the city or in the rest of the state. So, I mean, I think that's one of the problems. But again, part of the problem is also getting firm numbers and figuring out what exactly the problem is. The city has been in sort of accounting tatters for a long, long time, and sorting out what they're actually doing and where the money is and where it's being spent is a really, really tough thing to do.
Well, there's no question that that is a tough task, but certainly we elected, I shouldn't say we, I didn't, the city of Detroit elected a mayor.
Right.
That made some great promises. And in fact, you point out in your piece this morning that he hasn't come close to fulfilling some of these promises that should have been priority number one, Stephen.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's one of the, you know, I happen to think a lot of this mayor, and I think the city owes him a lot of gratitude for having stepped up when no one else would in the middle of the Kilpatrick mess and said he would do this job. But he also promised a lot of things in the way of sort of fiscal discipline and restructuring that were things that we were all very enthusiastic about and things that needed to be done. And I think any sort of clear-eyed assessment of what he's done since he's been in would describe his progress as very slow, if anything at all. I mean, a lot of the things that he talked about during the campaign, a lot of things he talked about in his initial months in office even, are things that just haven't even been on the table to try to sort these finances out. And so, you know, I don't know what the full explanation is for that, but I think, you know, I think it's fair to say that he now shoulders a fair amount of the responsibility for not having acted to fix this problem that, you know, in all fairness, he didn't create and that lots of previous mayors bear a lot more responsibility for. But I think he can't escape totally from that.
Well, and it's not even a matter of placing blame. As far as I'm concerned, Stephen, I think at some level it's a matter of fixing what needs to be fixed. We can talk
right.
blame all day long. It's not hard to place blame.
Right.
But that
right.
doesn't solve our problem.
No, and that was what, you know, I just think back to 2009 when the mayor took office. You know, there was a lot of optimism that finally we had somebody who understood that side of the equation, right? You know, there are a lot of things that Dave Bing as mayor was not going to be, and that we knew that he wouldn't be. But one thing we really expected was that there would be a sort of a technical proficiency brought to that side of the job. And I think, you know, perhaps the political culture of City Hall and the sort of difficulty of moving mountains down there has gotten the better of him. You know, I think there are some other obstacles in his way, but at the end of the day, it's about the results, and we should not be in the position right now that we're in, where we're sort of thinking about how the city is essentially out of money.
You know, it is. I mean, that is one of the remarkably disastrous things of this whole piece. There's so much more to talk about on this topic. And again, I would imagine, Stephen, as you were writing this, so we've got to get to a break, but as you were writing this, I would think that there were lots of reason for pause as you deliberately, you know, picked issues that were not hard to find. And important to discuss. So let's take a quick break here. Stephen Henderson, again, my guest, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press and the host of American Black Journal, seen on PBS on Sundays. We've got to get to the break. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back.
With Tony,
well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update brought to you by DTE Energy. Still a bit of a mess on the Reuther westbound. Traffic coming off of 94, trying to go west on 696. You're running into the delays because of the accident near Shaner. Still trying to clear that from the right side. And drivers are just pretty much stop and go at times. The route all the way out toward I-75, an earlier accident near Cousins before I-75, also still trying to clear.
This holiday season, light every door with select energy-efficient holiday LED light strings and save $3 instantly at participating Eco Hardware and the Home Depot stores. Visit DTEenergy.com/saveenergy.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're at our high for the day, 46 degrees, mostly cloudy today. Look for those temps to fall. We're going to have a chance of flurries tonight, a low near 28. Tomorrow, possibly a few flurries and a high of only 38. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees near the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Play EA Sports NCAA Football 12 Pick'em presented by Lowe's. Visit the Lowe's Home Improvement Facebook page. Pick the winning college football games and you'll be entered to win weekly prizes from EA Sports. Lowe's is an official corporate partner of NCAA football. No purchase necessary until 11:59 p.m. Central Time on 12 to 11. Subject to official rules at Facebook.com/Lowe's.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Get huge savings this Friday and Saturday at the Toys R Us 2-Day Sale. Doorbusters Friday 3 p.m. through Saturday 1 p.m. Like buy one, get one free on top toys from Crayola, Transformers, and My Little Pony. And buy one, get one 40% off hot-selling video games. Earn 10% back with Rewards R Us. And now, take time to pay with layaway. Toys R Us, the world's greatest toy store.
Free and or discounted item must be of equal or lesser value to item purchased. Certain restrictions apply for layaway offers. Rewards offer valid through 12/24. Visit Toys R Us for complete details.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Now, 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson again, my guest, editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press. We are talking about what is a critical day in the history of the city of Detroit. And I don't think I'm overselling that at all. Stephen has an editorial in today's Free Press titled Detroit's Clock Striking Midnight, and we are ever dangerously close to that midnight hour. There's no question that is true. We do want to take a call, so let us do that first, and welcome Bomonte to First Shift. Welcome to the show, or welcome back, Bomonte. Great to have you with us today. You're on the air with Stephen Henderson.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. I did send you something on Facebook about a program on December 1st. I hope.
Yep, I'm going to mention that. I'm going to mention that a little later on in the show today, Bomonte.
Okay, but I do have a question for Stephen Henderson. I just wondered if he's ever been down to any of those city council meetings, because apparently it's pretty clear that the mayor is doing a lot of things that the city council is not even aware of. you know, and everybody seems to want to blame the city council, but the city council, you know, a few months ago before the budget came out, they wanted to do some cuts, and the mayor overrode their veto and decided that
I'm gonna let Stephen answer that, but he addresses that in this piece. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah, okay, I mean, he's right that council has been, I mean, we've had this weird sort of flip-flop in recent months in Detroit, where normally council is the impediment to making deeper cuts in the budget. In this case, the mayor backed the council off of deeper cuts in the budget, saying that he thought he could pursue some longer term restructuring with the unions, and it turns out that's come back to sort of bite him in the rear. I mean, if he had made some of those cuts, if he had been more aggressive about prioritizing city services and getting the city out of the business of providing services that it can't really afford to provide, we wouldn't be here now. And so I think council is sort of very rightly saying, we told you so. I mean, another real concern that I have is that I know that the mayor and the council have been talking for more than a week about this impending cash crisis, and trying to figure out a way to work together to come up with proposals to fix it. I think, I'm pretty sure that his announcement tonight, though, based on what council was saying yesterday, he's now sort of split off from them and is saying he's going to make his own announcement. He's going to put together his own proposal, and council is not really signed on to it or part of that. And I worry that's going to exacerbate the problems that we have and make it tougher to get anything done right now. We really do need them sort of acting in concert, and I don't think that's what this announcement tonight is going to suggest.
And we know it's not. I think we're fairly sure. We know that city council's concerned that the mayor is not showing his hand on this. He's basically saying,
right,
you want to know what's happening at 6, tune in at 6.
Yeah.
Now, okay,
yeah.
Which
is a really, it's an odd power move for a mayor who's got a council that, again, has been very cooperative and been very fiscal minded. I mean, if you think about the councils we've had just in the immediate past in Detroit, this council is so much more open to cooperative relationships with the mayor, so much more open to innovative ideas. You would think that there would be a better relationship. That's another area that I think that this mayor has somewhat disappointed.
All right, and you know, and I've got to ask the question, because to me it's obvious. Is this a not just a black mark on Mayor Bing, but is it really indicative of his leadership style, which is frankly at a time when we need leadership, you know, not very indicative of what I would consider to be proactive leadership.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's sort of going rogue with this now, right? You know, he's split off from the negotiations or the talks with council about what they want to do, and is going to make his own announcement. Now, you know, maybe it's such a bold plan that everybody will just look at it and say, look, this is a great idea, we've got to do it. I have a hard time imagining what would be in it that would do that, and I have a hard time imagining that he couldn't have shared that with council. You know, this is a mayor who's struggled, again, with that relationship between the executive branch and the legislative branch. That's not new to City Hall, of course, but I do think that this mayor had a different kind of opportunity given the council that was elected when he was elected. They're a lot more progressive. They're a lot more open-minded. There's a lot more competence around that table than there has been in recent years. That was an opportunity, and I think he might have missed it.
Yeah, well, and is, you know, and the other question then at that point is it too late? We don't have a lot of time left, so in lieu of switching topics, because there's still plenty to talk of, on this one. You know, we do. I had a guy call this morning in the 6 o'clock hour, Stephen. His name was Don, and he talked about being a resident of the city of Detroit for 57 years. Very proud of his association with the city, very loyal to the city. And he's not alone. I have lots of listeners that have called, one in particular, a guy by the name of Amir, who is very anti-privatization because he doesn't want his tax dollars going to companies outside the city. He thinks the city can find a way to manage this all themselves. It's too late for that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're way past that that discussion. If you don't privatize significant parts of city services, and this is my opinion, but if you don't do that, you have no shot at fixing this problem. I mean, the costs that the city is incurring to do it themselves are just it's crushing. I mean, and it grows every year, and there's no way out of it. One other thing I'd point out about privatization, I mean, a lot of people talk about they want their tax dollars to stay here. People should think about the fact that, you know, we don't have a residency requirement anymore, and it's no longer true that the majority of city workers even live in the city. So we have city services and you know, government is in control of them, but it's not Detroiters who are employed for the most part by those jobs. I think it's something like 60% of the employees now live outside the city. So that's already happened. You know, that's not a good reason to oppose privatization. I think privatization has its pluses and its minuses. It's got to be very carefully managed. But we're past the point where we can say, well, we're just not going to consider that. I mean, we've got to have every possible idea on the table, and people have got to be really reasonable about picking the ones that will put us in the best shape.
Well, listen, not that I play favorites, but as I read you and have read you for years now, Stephen, I've got to tell people that they were doing themselves a disservice if they do not read your piece today. No, I don't say that lightly, Stephen. I truly don't. It is.
Well, I really appreciate that.
No, it talks about legacy costs. There's a lot of layers to this story. It's just not about budgeting at this point. And people need to understand the bigger picture. If you're only looking at this from a pride perspective, you're missing 90% of what needs to happen. And thank you for laying it out the way you did, Stephen. We're just out of time for today, and we'll look forward to having you on again next Wednesday.
Absolutely. See you next week,
Tom. You bet. Stephen Henderson, editorial page editor of the Free Press, and again, the host of American Black Journal on PBS. Okay, a quick break. We got to get to the break. 888-552-3595. We're open lines at the top of the hour. Give us a call.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes still some slow going on the Reuther. 696 westbound, we had earlier accidents near Shaner and Cousins. They start the domino effect of slow traffic, and it just takes a while for all of that to clear. I-94 also still seeing some pockets of slow traffic as you're coming in, kind of that shoreline commute as you head westbound trying to get toward Mount Elliott and in toward I-75.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're at our high for the day, 46 degrees, mostly cloudy today. Look for those temps to fall. We're going to have a chance of flurries tonight, a low near 28. Tomorrow, possibly a few flurries and a high of only 38. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees near the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
It's one thing to be addicted to a drug, but it's worse to be hooked because someone else is addicted. The someone in this case is Bank of America. Along with J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and other members of the Big Bankers gang. The drug they're hooked on is one they love, rely on, and have no desire to shake. Consumer fees. Such assessments on their own customers are now a major source of income in their banking systems, and they're more creative than other kinds of junkies in finding ways to get more of the stuff. One especially infuriating creation by these fee junkies is one that hooks you to their addiction. Internet banking. To draw you in, they initially offered free online bill paying, electronic deposits, etc. Sign up with us, they purred. We're here to serve you. Millions were lured in. But then, gotcha. Free soon turned into fees. Well, customers could just move their internet business to another bank, right? Not so simple. The banks have deliberately wired their technology to make it a pain in the rear for anyone to switch. Instead of just click on Move, you have to disentangle each one of your electronic transactions separately. Your various credit card accounts, rent payment, utility bills, etc., etc. One fellow who tried to move from Bank of America says he was so overwhelmed by the complications of switching dozens of his online arrangements that he gave up. I'm really annoyed, he told the New York Times, but someone at Bank of America made that calculation. This is Jim Hightower saying, Representative Brad Miller, having made his own calculation that consumers should be able to move at will, has introduced a bill in Congress to make it easier for customers to free themselves from their bank's fee addiction. For information, go to Representative Miller's website, www.bradmiller.house.gov. To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we, as the Michigan Board, will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. We are open lines to the top of the show. We have talked a great deal about the plight in the city of Detroit. Certainly, we welcome your comments on that or anything else that's on your mind. We haven't had open line time, at least this much in a while, so I really want to just encourage you to call the show. 888-552-3595. Plus, I got a whole bunch of stuff I want to get to as we have time, of course, and we will. Let us go to the phones and welcome Stephen Monroe. Steve, thank you so much for calling back today. Sorry I couldn't get to you yesterday. What's on your mind?
Tony?
Yeah, Steve, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just, in a way, you're kind of seeing the case with the financial woes of the city of Detroit. You're seeing kind of a case for against collective bargaining. I mean, the unions have, you know, put a lot of money toward getting people elected, then they negotiate these legacy costs, these contracts, and now, as the city has declined over the last years with population and other things, they're refusing to, you know, kind of negotiate. And yeah, I agree.
And that's not, but that's not, Steve, that's not entirely true, because they have given concessions. The AFSCME has given concessions repeatedly. The last one, a 10% concession. You can only ask, you know, and we actually reported on the study that shows that if workers in the city of Detroit give up another 10% or 20%, which was what the mayor wants, they will actually be living under poverty level wages. How can you justify that, Steve?
Tony, the point I'm making is this should have been addressed a long time ago, but they couldn't get concessions. And they couldn't negotiate because the unions were unwilling to. We're talking years and years ago, Tony. This should have been addressed, you know, long time ago.
Steve, that's not entirely fair, because property values, although they've not been great in the city of Detroit, did not start depreciating at record levels 20 years ago. It's only been the last 5 or 6 years that we have seen the revenue in the city of Detroit totally bottom out the way it has. This is not something that was foreseen.
Well, I agree that the property value has just accelerated, but we were going to get here at some point on the path we were going. We just got there quicker with the depreciation of these home values.
Again, it's I don't know, Steve. I really don't know what the answer is. I'm very curious what Mayor Bing has to say at 6 o'clock this evening. Very curious.
I am too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your call. As always, I appreciate it. Absolutely. I cannot fathom for the life of me. You know, the article that I have, actually the two articles I have about the mayor's speech tonight, says that he's going to talk about privatizing lighting and bus service. Folks, that doesn't solve this problem. If that's what he comes up with tonight, it doesn't solve the problem. Where do we go from there? 888-552-3595. Steve in Detroit joins us now. Steve, thanks for punching in. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Thank you. I'm fine.
You're good. I want to talk about the numbers, like Mr. Henderson was throwing out about 60% don't live here. I mean, I don't like when people throw out numbers and don't back where I could go, hoping to look that up. But I'm just saying, if more of my neighbors who actually do work for the city lose their job, that's just another house empty. I just don't think you can cut your way out of the problem. And another question. Wasn't a couple years ago the city residents went to vote and got what Robert Bob asked for, what, $550 million for new schools and got
they passed their millage. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's funny, we can go get money for what we want to get money for.
Yeah, but there's a difference, Steve. There's a difference between, you know, getting bonds for school improvements. And you can't go out and get bonds for the general budget. And so the city, one of the choices the city has is to sell some of their assets, the airport, which is a losing proposition for the city, city airport. You know, you even have to ask, do we even need city airport any longer, Steve?
I'm going to tell you this much, Tony. I used to love going to city airport when Southwest was out there. We was going up and down to Chicago all the time for $45. It had traffic around it.
I remember.
Like they wanted to do something, Southwest wanted to longer the runway, and they didn't do it.
No, I remember. You're right. And I remember I flew to Chicago quite a few times out of city airport. It was so simple.
Drive an hour to get to the airport and 40 minutes extra for parking, you know. It was right here. We missed the golden opportunity with that.
You're right. We did. Steve, thank you so much for your call. Again, this is not something that, is easily explained, is easily dealt with. And, again, I'm vastly curious what the mayor is going to say at 6 o'clock this evening. 888-552-3595. We now turn our attention to James in Detroit. James, good morning. What is on your mind today, James?
Good morning. Yesterday you mentioned on your show that the people who do not want Scott Walker recalled had devised a way of having their people go door to door, getting signatures on ballots.
Oh, yeah.
And then tossing those ballots in the garbage can.
Absolutely.
I was just wondering, to your knowledge, have the people in Wisconsin came up with a way to counteract that? Because that's dangerous.
To my knowledge, no. The answer to your question is no. They have not come up with a way to counteract that except to go public with it. Because here's the problem, James. If you think you've already signed a petition and somebody approaches you again and says, hey, this is a petition to recall Governor Walker, well, what are you going to say? I already signed a petition, right? Because you know you can't sign more than one, you won't sign it again. It's a perfect plan. It's devious as hell.
How do you think it will work if they advertise that people should go to specific locations to fill out the ballot?
Well, that certainly could be a way to do it, James. I'm glad you were listening. I really am. I don't know how to solve this problem. And it is a significant problem because how do you know? You don't know by looking at somebody whether they're a Republican or a Democrat or a Tea Party member. You don't know. It's all you have to do is show up somewhere with your hair clean and a tie on, and people think you're a Republican. People don't know.
For one thing, they need to spend some money, pool their resources, and start advertising to let people know that strategy has been adopted by the other side.
Well, again, that's what yesterday was about, is that they did a huge internet push to get this information out, which is how it got to me. That's why I was talking about it yesterday. So they've done that. Was it enough? I don't know. And I would assume, because I don't live in Wisconsin and you don't live in Wisconsin, I have no idea. I'm assuming the effort was much more massive there. If anybody in Wisconsin is listening online, maybe you can let us know what was happening there. But James, you're right. This is a significant problem. And it has to be addressed. But you ask it a great question. How do you counteract that? I give you the lame answer that I don't know.
Yeah, because the only thing, like I said, that I could think of is to tell people we have specific locations that we would like you to come to in order to sign, you know, official ballots that will not be tossed in the garbage.
Yeah, well, James, you know, let me do some homework on this today, and I will I'll report again tomorrow. Is fair enough?
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, James, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it. He asked a great question. I don't know the answer to it. And for those of you that weren't listening yesterday, the Tea Party, in their devious minds, because they love to play fair, because we don't want democracy to be democracy, has been going out and collecting petition signatures to recall Governor Scott Walker, and then they're shredding those petitions after people sign them. Again, if you sign a petition, you know you can only sign once. Somebody approaches you, asks you to sign, of course you're going to say, I've signed. Who wins? They do. Pretty devious. No question. It doesn't get much more devious than that. Actually, it's a pretty perfect plan. Because then people don't know where to sign. And I don't know if, you know, with James' suggestion that they go to certain locations, that would help to some degree. But when you talk about the numbers of signatures that have to be gathered in order to put a name on the ballot for recall, you can't. I don't think you can rely on just these static locations. I don't know.
And isn't the hypocrisy just so ripe? I mean, a day after we played the audio from Fox News saying, well, the difference between the Tea Party and the occupiers is that the occupiers are obviously anti-democratic.
Yeah. Yeah, anti-American and anti-democratic. And yet, what are the Tea Party people doing but being anti-American and anti-democratic? Huh. Interesting. Yeah, you're right. That is kind of interesting. Jeff, I'd forgotten about that. Really disturbing. Yeah, what they're doing is very, very disturbing. And I'm concerned about it because they've got some great momentum going in Wisconsin. They've got, you know, obviously what happened in Ohio last Tuesday and then what we were able to accomplish here in Michigan last Tuesday and in Wisconsin, and then to have the Tea Party people craft this devious plan to steal names is actually, it's masterful. It really is. Let's go quickly to the phone so we can get another call in before the break. I want to welcome Earl and Ypsilanti. Been a while, Earl. Pleasure to have you punch back in with us this morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm back on this side of the state for a minute. Been doing a lot of work over in Grand Rapids, but I'm catching your show. I worked in Detroit for 20 years, and our union committee, we went before the city council to get a tax abatement. And we got a $4 million tax abatement, and Indiana threw our jobs to Indiana, and they used the $4 million to move. That you know, the industrial base eradicated in Detroit has a lot to do with their ills. You know, they lost the tax base. Also, I think that taxing residents double that work in the city. But that right there is an incentive to move out of the city.
Yeah, and Earl, there's so many, again, there's so many challenges. Bud, we're up against the clock. I'm going to have to let you go. But there's so many challenges. I don't know how they solve this thing. I really don't. People got to stop blaming unions. Now on Facebook, it's all about union contracts. Bull crap. We'll take the break. We'll wrap it up on the other side. Call us, 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trivano.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. And since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of right to work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a right to work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Trivia on 1310 WDTW. Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back. We're going to get ready to wrap things up. I'm going to actually try to get to some announcements today. That'd be appropriate. Why do you remind you very quickly before we move on that if you are looking to join a union or you would like to start a union in your workplace, I have a brand new phone number for you that will get you to the information you need to do it. I realize it can seem overwhelming and daunting. It might even be a little scary. I totally get that. This can be totally anonymous. All you need to do is call the number I'm about to give you and then just ask them to walk you through the process or whatever question you might have. And there's no such thing as a stupid question. So get that out of your mind right now. 1-800-321-6406. That's 1-800-321-6406. Just you don't need to use your name or use your name if you'd like to. That's fine. Ask whatever question you want to ask. They have the answers. Whether you're in a workplace where you just feel devalued, you know that the company is wildly profitable, yet you keep taking concessions. There are so many different reasons. It could be for safety. You know, unions protect you, not just your pocketbook. They protect you, the person. And so if you would like union protection in your workplace, and you don't have it, this number starts that process. 1-800-321-6406. All right, Stephen Colbert, as only he can do, after Saturday's debate, you know, I don't, Jeff, do you even think people knew there was a debate on Saturday?
No, that was kind of weird how quickly they had the two debates together.
Yeah, and now what's really funny about it is it was an hour and a half debate. They stopped after an hour so they could show a rerun of NCIS. So take that for what it's worth. I'm just saying. Anyway, Stephen Colbert noticed a little something that I wanted to share with you folks. Here it goes.
It's no surprise. I am addicted to all the Republican presidential candidates. They are like crack in that they will devastate black communities. And folks, I got my fix on Saturday with yet another debate, this time sponsored by CBS. The big news was that a woman was mistreated, and Herman Cain had nothing to do with it. You see, Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's campaign is crying foul because Bachmann was slated to appear on a post-debate show for CBS. CBS's new political director, John Dickerson, was informed of this in an email from his producer and responded by writing, "Let's keep it loose," in the hopes we can get someone else because Bachmann was not going to get many questions in the debate since her low poll numbers were nearly off the charts. Ms. Bachman's communications director was copied on the email because Mr. Dickerson hit reply all. Now we've all been there. One slip of the mouse and the wrong person gets that photo of you in the Crocsless Iron Man costume. Again, my apologies to Doris Kearns Goodwin. And my apologies to No Shave November. Now, no surprise. No surprise, after Dickinson's accidental gab fest, Bachman's campaign manager stormed through the spin room saying, John Dickerson should be fired. He is a piece of shit. Now, to add insult to injury, a piece of shit is polling higher than Michelle Bachman. Well, she knows. She knows. She knows exactly what this snub is really about.
Clearly, this was an example of media bias.
Yes, media bias. And not just against Michelle Bachman. Every day, the mainstream media denies airtime to millions of people who will not be president. As Bachman's campaign manager, Keith Nahigian, emailed supporters, the liberal mainstream media elites are purposely suppressing our conservative message. Yes, CBS is clearly biased for asking more questions of the left-wing candidates, like Herman Cain, Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, and Newt Gingrich. Three of these comrades don't even want to electrocute Mexicans. Now, thankfully, Bachman has turned this outrage into an outrage opportunity. On Sunday, her campaign fired off an email to supporters saying, please show your support by tweeting your outrage to CBS News. Afterwards, I hope you will make a donation to Michelle's campaign to ensure she has the funds necessary to fight back against the liberal media. And folks, it's true. Michelle Bachman needs your donations because not only does the media have a liberal bias, but evidently so does money.
That is just funny. I'm sorry, Jeff. It's just funny. It just is. And I'll let it stand on its own. I don't need to touch it. It's just funny.
There are millions of people who every day who won't become president and who have a bias against them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just funny stuff. All right. Very quickly, because I want to get a couple of announcements. And Alan West, who's a congressman from Florida, who was verbally abusive to my pal, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, gets his information from, what can we say, interesting sources, Jeff?
I would say so.
All right. This is what, this is not even 30 seconds, folks. This is what he had to say on national television.
So the president is the benefactor of a lot of information that came from waterboarding. When you look at the precedent, non-state, non-uniform belligerents captured on the battlefield under the Geneva Convention are not afforded the same type of rights. We can make that determination. And as the president, you need to do those things which are necessary to make sure that the American people are kept safe. Furthermore, in the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore was waterboarded, and we do use that in military training. Survival, escape, resistance, and invasion training.
G.I. Jane. He references G.I. Jane? Really?
Well, I think that the military needs to develop lightsabers because in the movie Star Wars, they proved to be pretty useful.
All right. Let me get to some announcements before we run out of time. Tea Party guy, by the way. The third request, folks. I have a listener that wants to know if there are any churches, especially in northern Wayne County, but in the Metro Detroit area, that run a non-food pantry. One of my listeners has a church that wants to partner up with several local churches so that we can expand their resources since the demand is so high, and we want to pass this information on to the people who may need these items that the banks provide. If you are one of those churches that has a non-food pantry, please send me an email and I'll connect you to Deborah so that you guys can work together to provide for those in need. And again, the email address is tony@thetonyshow.org. This Friday, 6:30, the ceremony starts at 7, the Transgender Day of Remembrance. I will be speaking at the Central United Methodist Church at 23 East Adams Street in Detroit. If you are in the area, even if you're not in the area, you should come by and help to honor those who have been harmed just because of who they are. This should never, ever happen. And lastly, I'm going to get it in, a legal symposium on December 1st to 2011. Nullification of your vote, the impact of the emergency manager law on the Detroit public schools and the city of Detroit. Join keynote speaker, Detroit native son, attorney Chakwi Lumumba, and others invited guests, including lawyers and lawmakers who challenged the emergency manager law. It is going to be at the Sacred Heart Church Activities Building, located at 3452 Rivard, just off of I-75 and Mac in Detroit. The program starts at 6 p.m. That's it from us. Thanks, Jeff, for everything today. Great audience, great show. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update includes construction on the Southfield Freeway. Northbound drivers are finding that left lane taken out between Warren as you're heading up toward I-96, the Jeffries. That's going to be working there all day. At times, we may see a little bit of a slow go for those maybe heading up toward M-10 or maybe all the way up towards 696.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We're at our high for the day, 46 degrees. Mostly cloudy today. Look for those temps to fall. We're going to have a chance of flurries tonight. Tonight, a low near 28. Tomorrow, possibly a few flurries and a high of only 38. Right now, it's overcast and 46 degrees near the airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Identify yourself.